family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy.
30 seconds to open.
Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Looking like a pop star has never been easier. You won't believe your eyes when we grant the makeover wish of a lifetime. You'll witness dramatic body contouring procedures. Premiering the ultimate reality show.
Entertainment, perhaps. Reality, no. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons is concerned for your safety. Plastic surgery is real surgery with great benefits, but also carries some risks. Be realistic, be informed, choose a surgeon certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
For more information, go to plasticsurgery.org or call 1-888-4PLASTIC.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigned.
The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States allows that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
There's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all American voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, and my, am I ready to have a good show tonight. I hope you are, too. We're ready to rock and roll on the show this evening. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beach of beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, in the Naples area, Florida, and all up and down the coast here. My, what a beautiful day it was. And, well, looking around the nation, I'm a news hound. You know, I always look at the weather in other places. Well, I've got lots of friends that live all over the country and around the world, for that matter. We always check their out their weather, too. So it looks like it's been a pretty decent day here in the good old U.S. of A. Hello to all of our friends on Democratic Underground, Democrats.com, SmirkingChimp.com. Hello to the Turtles down at Bentley Village in Naples. Got a good club down there, all the Democrat Club listeners. My, oh, my. We hear a lot from all of you each week, and always glad to get your words and find out what you think about the program, what you think about what we do here. Another interesting week, as always. And let me give you the phone numbers. My producer just gets really angry at me if I don't do that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. That's five, count them, five toll-free numbers for you to call in on. Locally here in the Lee County area, 479-5540, and in Collier County, 263-6570. We do hope you'll give us a call. After all, this is a talk show. You can do some of the talking. I'll do some of the talking. And between the two of us, we might solve a few things tonight. I don't know. We invite all of our people on the right to call in. We always love to hear from you. Well, some of you anyway. And always helps make the show a little more interesting. A lot of news this week, once again. I thought last week was a little quiet on the news front. We did have Tom DeLay this week talking about the Democrats, and the Democrats had no ideas and no class. How about that? Coming from Tom DeLay. No class. I'll tell you, Tom DeLay, they had a big gala in Washington to honor him. Because, after all, he is a man so worthy of the high honor. And it was a $250 plate gala in his honor, a Thursday night in Washington. And, you know, he's been dogged by all these ethic questions. And he was hailed by other speakers for his leadership in the Republican Party in the House. What a fine man he is. And when DeLay spoke, he made some sort of a reference to the problems that have sparked calls for an ethics probe. But he didn't want to say a whole lot about it. I would suggest that Tom DeLay doesn't know what class is. Most certainly not. After all, one only has to look at the guest list the other night for that thing. Do you know who was there at a prominent spot? Why, none other than Jeff Gannon. You know, the same Jeff Gannon, a.k.a. James Guckert, I think is his real name, the male prostitute reporter slash whatever else he is. Who got into the White House? How many male prostitute reporters are in the White House a couple hundred times? I wonder if you have the list of male gay prostitute slash reporters that have visited the White House on an official basis a couple hundred times. Please send me that list at you can give me at guyjames at theguyjamesshow.com, and you send a cover letter with it, and if it's 4 or 5 pages long, I'll give you out the fax number a little later so you can get that to me. If it's very, very lengthy though, I'll understand, but there's got to be quite a few, I'm sure. But Jeff Gannon was there, and it was a $250 plate dinner. And one thing that puzzled me, 900 people showed up for this gala, okay? 900 at $250 a plate. Organized said the money will be used to pay for the event. Are you telling me it costs $250 a pop to throw a dinner? I don't care where they had it. $250 a plate for rubber chicken if it's in the fanciest place in Washington is a bit stiff, so I don't know, sounds funny to me anyway. And while watching the news this week, I had some sort of an epiphany. I about every few months something hits me right in the face and goes, whoa, wait a minute about that. You know, I've been suspect of what I hear on TV news and reading the newspapers for a long time now. I've told you that because I found so much of what they reported to be all embellished, to be kind, full of errors, or just downright wrong. And it isn't that I think these people are stupid or careless. On the contrary, I think they're brilliant insofar as their abilities to willfully deceive the public. And oh sure, sometimes they're just plain careless or lazy, but most of the time, I believe that what appears to be a mistake is planned deception on their parts. Or what I think is even more sinister is their obvious plan to leave out important news. How many of you heard anything about the British-Iraqi war memo this past week on major network news or cable news? Anybody? For anybody who took the time to read it, this memo is the most damning political document, I think, in the last 100 years or more. Here we've got absolute documented proof that the President of the United States and the Prime Minister of Great Britain lied to their peoples about going to war in Iraq. Absolute proof. And that memo, by the way, has been verified as genuine over in Great Britain, that instead of making war over the circumstances in Iraq, they contrived to make the circumstances fit their desire to carry out their long-planned war against Saddam Hussein. And it's now been documented that they didn't give a damn about whether or not there really were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, or whether or not Iraq was any kind of a threat to its neighbors, or to the USA, or to Europe, or Great Britain. They had long-standing plans to go to war against Iraq, and they manufactured the intelligence to legitimize their desires to go to war. Let's face it, folks, even the most hardcore of you on the right finally are going to have to admit that it was all a lie. And what a despicable lie this was. How could a president ever expect a nation to believe another word he says? I know I won't. If Bush looked me in the eye and said the sun will rise in the east tomorrow, I'd probably have to wait and see if it was true. He is, in plain old English, the worst kind of liar imaginable. He willfully deceived a nation of 280 million people in order to carry out his own personal agenda. He should be impeached and imprisoned, along with those who helped him carry out this absolutely diabolical plan. That's right, impeached and imprisoned. That's just what I said. There are a whole lot of people in prison in this country who've done a hell of a lot less than lie to the entire American population about starting a war and then sending 1,600 or more, now 1,610 I think it is, of our dear citizens to their death on a lie. This is the worst, most evil act ever carried about out about by any citizen of the United States of America, and you heard me right, the worst, most evil act ever perpetrated by any American citizen against the people of this nation. Name me one other person who's lied to the people of the United States, and the result of that lie was 1,600 American soldiers' death and at least $300 billion of expense we absolutely can't afford. This was no mistake. This was no error in judgment. This was an outright lie, a lie that has now been proven and documented beyond the shadow of any doubt. And yet, what did you hear about it on the evening news this week? What did you read about it in the newspaper? I'll answer that for you. Almost nothing. I might be a bit older than some of you, but I remember watching the evening news with Walter Cronkite, or Chet Huntley and David Brinkley and others. We got the real news. We got the meat of the stories. We got more, much more than Michael Jackson and Runaway Bride stories. We got the truth. And people didn't complain that they were left or right. And I want you to think about that. You people that are my age, you think back to when Huntley and Brinkley and Walter Cronkite were on TV. Did anybody accuse them of being on the left or right, liberal, conservative? Hell no. They didn't. They were honest men. They reported the real news with truth. And they were never made to look bad later because they were honorable men with honorable motives and a profound respect for the profession of journalism, something these people today know nothing about. What we have now is a joke. I look with a jaundiced eye at every report I see on TV, and as often as not, the real story is not what they do report, but rather what they don't report, as in this story about the memo. Didn't you think it was odd that that was missing from the nightly news almost every night this week on all the networks? Even the cable people didn't talk about it. You know, we've heard lately that the Bush administration has been paying reporters to do nice stories about them. We've heard that the Bush administration manufactured their own news and distributed it to the news outlets. We've seen the press conferences, the few of them they actually have. We've seen that they're actually scripted. We've even seen evidence that the president himself has been wired so that some staffer can tell him what to say so as to keep him from looking like a buffoon. It didn't work, but they tried. My point here is that all of us have to start demanding the truth from our news outlets. We have to let them know that we'll no longer stand for their contrived version of the news. We want to know, we deserve to know, we must know the truth, and we're not getting it from the corporate media, conservative, liberal, or otherwise. I'll just give you an example. I heard a so-called expert on TV the other night talking about how dangerous that little Piper airplane could have been to Washington. The guy said it was capable of carrying it. This is an expert. Said it was capable of carrying a 2,000-pound bomb. Now, I've flown in one of those Pipers just like that. And when loaded down with fuel, it struggled to get airborne with two big guys and their luggage in it. But did the newsman challenge the guy about his statement about a 2,000-pound bomb? No. He just let the public go on thinking that this little gnat of an airplane could have blown the top off the Capitol building or destroyed the White House complex. You know, if a reporter had any sense, if the people in Washington had any sense, that the only way that plane could have been dangerous if he had anthrax and sprayed it on all the people who were running out of the buildings. That's how stupid that whole thing was. You know, here we had almost half of the evening news about this story and half of the rest of the news about the Michael Jackson trial. We got a common thug being appointed to be the ambassador of the United States. Senator Cat Killer Bill Frist threatening to overturn a couple of hundred years worth of Senate rules. Bush's totally ignorant speech in Latvia. And the astounding fact, and I wonder how many of you heard this. Pay attention to this if you didn't watch the news real closely. Did you know that the United States government set up and paid for the whole extravaganza over in the former state of Georgia? Did you see that beautiful affair they had there? I watched that. When I saw that, I thought, my God, this is beautiful. They had all the people dressed up in colors that looked like flags and everything, and it was obviously an expensive, well-choreographed affair. Well, guess what? The good old US of A orchestrated and paid for the entire thing. That's right. We paid for it, and we orchestrated the whole thing. Did you hear that on the nightly news? Were some of you sitting there saying, gee, they really do love our president over in Georgia, don't they? No. They don't love him anywhere. We paid them for that little photo op. But did you hear that on the nightly news? Oh, no, 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 no. We have all of that going on, and what do we hear? We hear about Michael Jackson's trial. God help us all when it comes to this press nowadays. Love to know what you think about it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 in Collier County. Let's go to Marie in Lehigh. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Guy. I got a couple of things here that I want to say.
All right.
I really think this airhead that is trying to lead this country, I think the booze has finally hit his brain.
Something's pickled there. I don't know.
And this administration who is supposed to bring respect to the White House, where is it?
Oh, yeah, respect to the White House and a new tone to Washington.
You think Giuliani would bring it?
No.
He won't.
No.
He would be crazy if he even tried to run.
Well, after that debacle about pushing Kerik up there for the Homeland Security chief, I think he's lost a lot of his political clout with the Republicans.
I hope so. I hope they're that smart.
And I doubt that he's going to run against Hillary. I see Hillary this week has got a 70% approval rating in New York.
What do you think about Boxer?
Well, I don't know. She's awfully popular in the West.
How she speaks out?
Well, she does.
She doesn't care what she says?
Yeah, she's a little firecracker. She really is.
She is.
Well, she's a small gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been close to her.
A lot of spirit.
Oh, yeah. She certainly has.
Well, either one of them would be wonderful, I think.
Yeah, I do, too. Of course, Republicans are shaking in their shoes that Hillary will be trying it. You've heard all the talk show hosts roasting her now.
Yeah. That's what they need, somebody to shake them in their shoes.
Well, Marie, what else? You got anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Well, not right now, but okay. I'll call again.
Well, I'll surely have something else to say.
All right.
So,
thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Good evening.
Good to hear from you. Very, very, very good to hear from you. A lot of things... I picked up on a lot of odd things this week that I normally don't look at. I was reading the we got it out on there. All right, I was reading our local newspaper here, and they have a column in there by this Thomas Sowell. I call him Uncle Tom Sowell. That's what he is. I'll go into that a little later. If any of you saw that, dig that out. Dig out his latest column, and we'll go into that a little later in the program. Not really talking about that right now, but it's an interesting take he has on everything. Of course, it's from the far, far right, as far as you can get. Let's go to Diana in North Fort Myers.
Yeah, hi, Guy.
Hi.
I spent the week bored, so I was listening to some of the Republican radio talk shows, and I have to laugh. Because now you've got, like, Mike Savage and Jerry Doyle, these diehard Republicans all jumping ship. And I'm wondering, has the big corporate media cut off their checks now that they've got a two-termer in there?
Well, you know, it does seem odd, and I'll single out Savage. I heard some of him this week. He has most definitely jumped up on top of the fence, if nothing else.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have no shame about it. And I was worried, too, because Now corporate propaganda broadcasting is trying to take over even our public public broadcasting stations.
Oh, they sure are.
And if that doesn't bother Americans, I don't know what will. And what you said about the dinner for delaying them, I agree, because while they're sitting there tinkling spoons on their fancy plates, our soldiers are dying over a lie for them to line their wallets with corporate profits. And who in the world in this country could ride around saying, support our troops and be for these idiots?
Well, I've heard several news executives this week being interviewed talking about the fact. People are saying, why don't you have more on about the news? They said people aren't interested in it.
Bring our troops home.
Yeah.
Vote Dennis Kucinich.
Tried to get Dennis on the program this week.
Oh, I love him.
He's in an airplane someplace right now.
He's a real Democrat.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, we had planned to have Dennis on the program tonight. His people called yesterday and said, no, he had to jump a plane, and he's in the air as we speak right now. So, Dennis, I hope you're having a nice ride someplace. Always interesting to have Dennis Kucinich around. You want to hear the truth? You don't have to worry about Dennis. When he opens his mouth, out comes the truth, just quite normally and naturally. So unusual for a politician, don't you think? It's too bad. I said the other day, And I don't know if any of you agree with me on this, but I think it's too bad that Dennis I think it's too bad he didn't look like Gary Hart, have the demeanor of Howard Dean, and have the truth that comes out of Dennis Kucinich's mouth. That would make an interesting guy to me. I guess what that would be a tall Harry Truman. I'm not sure. But, interesting. Let's go to Alice in Northern California. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Howdy.
They have been planning to invade Iraq for several years, Guy.
Oh, yeah.
They even spelled out that they would need a new Pearl Harbor to get the people to support the invasion. Yes, they should all be in prison.
I agree. I think this was a dastardly act. It was planned a long time in advance. When Mr. Clark came out in front of the committee and told all about it, nobody believed him.
Have you ever read The Inside Job?
Yeah, I've read quite a bit of it.
Mars. Oh, it's an eye-opener. It's a wonderful book.
Well, I'm afraid I'm in the position of not putting very much past these people.
Okay.
I don't trust them about anything. And I don't think they've done anything to deserve our trust. I really don't.
Have a good day.
Thank you for calling, Alice. Nice to hear from you from Northern California. So we got Gary in Joshua Tree. Gary, where are you calling from?
Why, hi. I'm calling from Joshua Tree. That's in the high desert. It's about 40 miles northeast of Palm Springs.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, I've been following the news this weekend, and it concerns me that the military bases are being closed, and the headlines just say 33 bases closed, when the actual list is something like 158.
Really? Is that many?
Is that many? Including Walter Reed. Walter Reed Army Medical Center. They want to close it.
We know, Gary, one of the things I found so interesting about this, and I haven't had a chance to delve into it in absolute detail, the money and so forth, but don't you find it interesting that they crucified John Kerry during the presidential campaign about voting against this weapon and this base and that base, and now they're coming up wanting to close all these bases?
Yeah, it's typical. But see, it's false economy. They're saying they'll save money by consolidating these bases, but right now, they don't have room on the existing bases for housing for military families. Here in the high desert, I'm right next door to 29 Palms Marine Corps base, and they're about 2,000 houses short of affordable housing for Marines.
Wow.
And they've had a construction program going on for the last 8 years, and they can't meet the demand. They close these bases down, they're going to have to build something in other bases for these people to live.
Well, as you know, Gary, this administration doesn't seem all that concerned about these people when they come back home.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, they've cut benefits. They've done everything they can to...
Well, what do people think? Walter Reed is the hospital that the president uses. What's he going to do? Go to Blue Cross?
Oh, I don't think he'll suffer at all, do you?
No, I don't think he'll suffer.
Yeah.
But I know those 10,000 soldiers who don't have arms or legs are really going to suffer because the VA can't handle them.
No,
it's crazy what's going on, and the media doesn't cover important issues.
They sure don't. When it comes to the fact that half the news is about Michael Jackson and a runaway bride and those kind of things, it's just a shame.
Well, you know, I get my news from the Internet, and it bothers me to think that there's a push, or I think there will be a push, to censor it, to control it, to limit it.
Yes.
And if corporations are allowed to control our access to news, we won't hear about it.
You're exactly right. They've succeeded in controlling the rest of the media. There's no reason why they won't stop. You know, they won't stop there.
Well, I think they've got reason to fear. I think the Internet is what binds us people with like minds together. It's our source of information. It's a lifeline. It's a rallying point. Look what Move On did for Dean, or even Kucinich.
You're right, Gary. And you know, the thing is, they want it all. That's the thing that bothers me. They're not satisfied with having 90% of it. They want it all. And, you know, politically, I'm no babe in the woods, because I do understand that keeping a majority is the aim of any political party. But even though I'm a Democrat and a proud liberal, I just can't imagine an America in which the far left, for example, had so much control as to completely throttle the other party. You know, I wouldn't be comfortable if the Democrats owned every elected office in America. I know what would happen. We need both parties, and we need both parties to be strong, and yet they're trying to wipe us out.
We need balance.
That's right.
Yeah, these are the most un-American people.
They are.
And they crouch everything, and they wrap everything in a flag, and they talk about patriotism, yet they suppress free speech. They suppress what people are herded now into free speech zones 2 miles away from an event.
Well, who else would have the audacity to pour more pollution in the air and call it the Clean Air Act?
Oh, yeah, or the Healthy Forest Initiative.
That's right.
Which means the forests get cut down.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, I'll let you go, but, you know, we need, I think, speaking just out loud for a regular guy, we need to start talking to our friends and our family and people on the street and just bring up the fact that some really goofy economic and political and military decisions are being made that are really going to come back and bite us in the butt.
You bet. You bet. Gary, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
Good to hear from you. Gee, we've had 3 or 4 callers from California already. They must be paying attention out there. I love it in California. Just had a guy tell me this afternoon, well, a friend of ours, telling this afternoon that he lived there for 20 years, telling about how it doesn't rain for 7 or 8 years now, then it starts pouring. Remember that old song, It Never Rains in Southern California? Oh, yeah, I remember that. But I've been there when it rains. So, hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be right back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
What is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida? Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
News Talk 1240 and 1270.
Hi, I'm Sam Waterston. Losing your sight would be terrifying. But sadly, more than 6 million Americans are losing their vision to blinding inherited diseases such as macular degeneration and retinitis pigmentosa. These diseases make it impossible to drive, read, or even see the faces of loved ones. Everything in life becomes a challenge, but there is hope. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge to find cures for these devastating diseases. For free information on the latest treatments and research on macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, and Usher syndrome, or to find out how you can help, please call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-844-1174. That's 800-844-1174. The Foundation Fighting Blindness, driving research to save and restore sight.
Honey, can you pour me some water?
Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. And it doesn't matter. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. And it doesn't matter. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it still doesn't matter. The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
Why can't I get a monkey? Why can't you catch a whale with a worm?
Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
If you think it's tough answering these questions, imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel.
Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Here's an air travel tip. Be sure you have all your belongings before leaving airport security. Some surprising things are sometimes left behind. Julia Ryan of Traveler's Advantage explains.
Travelers frequently leave their laptops at the security point. Laptops should be packed so they can easily be taken out and put in their own plastic containers for x-raying. And be sure to label your laptop just in case you...
We're coming back up to the open.
Traveler's Advantage. Visit traveler'sadvantage.com or call 1-877-841-1335.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, let's hear from you on the Guy James Show. I'm interested in knowing what you're thinking about the things we're talking about on the program tonight. So far, we, that's why we're on the air here. We're here to do a little educating. We're here to do a little entertaining. Try and give you 3 hours worth of good radio every week, and I think we do that. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540 here locally. Hey, what's going on in California tonight? Everybody in California is listening to the Guy James Show tonight. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. You have definitely connected with California.
Yeah, Humboldt, California, for one.
Yeah, upcut the Oregon end of the state.
Ah.
But,
actually, that's a beautiful end of the state, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a very, very beautiful area, as is yours down there. But we could not have a worse government. No country could be saddled with a more destructive government than what we've got right now.
Certainly not. I agree.
And I'm a broken record on the subject, but the worst thing of all is they stole the damn election. I have no question in my mind about it. They had these machines designed for them to use. They block every effort to make these machines verifiable. They're sticking it to us, and they still have these damn things, and they won't let it come to a vote to make them verifiable. Now, that to me says that, yes, indeed, they should be in prison.
Well, I think there are many things that, and above all, starting this war, and if you're right about winning an election under fraudulent circumstances, they deserve it for that as well.
Yes, in your earlier California caller there, that definitely they needed a new Pearl Harbor to get the people to support an invasion. They spelled that out.
Isn't
it
something? Hey, Dave, explain to our listeners, I know what you're talking about, but you're talking about that PNAC memo. Explain that to folks.
Yeah, it was back in the early 1991 or so, that Pearls and Wolfowitz and Senior Bush and all the whole club there got together and planned out what they hoped would be their course to change the world order. It would be a world domination by a clique that they would put in power in the United States. They spelled out their plan for how they were going to gain power, and it wasn't an honorable method. You know, they had saw themselves needing to rig the election. They also said that in order to get the people to support our invading Iraq, we will need to have a new Pearl Harbor type of an event. And what did they do? They turned their backs. They looked the other way. They permitted it to happen. I think they helped put the detonating explosives in the World Trade Towers. I believe that they flew 160-some Al-Qaeda Arabs, including, it's escaping me, the brother, all over the country, picking them up and transporting them to Boston, putting them on jumbo jets and flying them out of the country as soon as the restrictions were lifted.
Well, there are a lot of things to smell about that whole deal. I'll go so far with you as to say that I think they certainly dropped the ball on the whole thing.
It's automatic. Pilots have been trained for 35, 40 years that when there's a plane being hijacked, you roll one of these interceptor fighters or two of them within a matter of minutes. They have them coming out that plane. It's faster than the speed of a bullet. And they will get there and signal the pilot, and if it's going to be a danger, if that plane is going to, you know, crash into something vital, they will shoot the thing down. That's what they're trained to do. But that day, they were all held on the ground. Who did that? Who gave that order?
Yeah, a lot of very, very suspicious things happened that day. Dave, thanks so much for calling the program.
Thank you for being here.
You must be getting everybody out. What'd you do, call everybody in California and tell them to call the show tonight?
I do recommend you to anybody that's willing to listen, wants to hear something.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Let's head on up to Tallahassee, Florida. We got Peter in Tallahassee. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing today?
Pretty doggone good, I think.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Guy, I'm calling to share a short story with you that I witnessed firsthand, and it's a ray of hope. It really impressed me mightily. It's not a long story. My sister is a member of a gospel singing group here in the Tallahassee area, and they get invited to sing at homecomings and various activities at churches in and around the several counties here in Tallahassee. So several weeks ago, there was a little church in a place called Reichertville, Florida. You won't find it on the map. It's unincorporated. It's on a highway that's very long that connects two other highways that are very long. Middle of nowhere. Little homemade sign that marks the quote city limits. They were invited to sing at a homecoming service. The sound guy that normally does their sound wasn't available, so they asked me to come along and do the sound, which I did. So in any case, this church, small clapboard church, there are nine pews on each side. You can look out the window and see cows and horses. What I'm trying to get across is that you would expect it to be a bastion of Republican conservative thought. In any case, the pastor that was speaking there was this little old tottering man, and he sort of made his way up the pulpit and began talking about homecoming and how some families wouldn't have their kids come home, and he gave examples of Christmas homecomings and Thanksgiving homecomings. And he said the reason why was the, and I quote, preemptive and unnecessary, end quote, war in Iraq. Well, you know, Of course, we all feel that way. But to have heard those words in such a shocking environment, it was the last thing I ever expected to hear in those surroundings. It reduced me to tears, I've got to tell you. I went up and I hugged the man's neck after the service was over and just told him how grateful I was from the bottom of my heart that he spoke those words. And he said to me, I just feel very strongly about the war. I didn't notice any others in the church shaking his hand and hugging him over that remark, but it's a crack in the wall. It just showed me that maybe the tide is turning. If the level that it happened at is such a grassroots level, such that I just think that there are cracks in the wall, and it's just a ray of hope. I wanted to share it.
Well, Peter, I think that story is wonderful, and I think it just points out the fact that something I believe in mightily is that sooner or later, the truth will come off the bottom of the ocean and rise to the top.
Yes.
Sooner or later, the truth will always come out, and all we have to do is wait for the right condition and the right people and the right set of circumstances, and the truth will rise up. And that's what that story is all about.
Yes, sir, it is, and oh, my God, my heart just burst open when I heard those words spoken in that environment. I just can't begin to tell you what a relief it was to hear truth spoken to power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And anyway, I love your show, guys.
Thanks for calling, Peter. It's great to hear that story. It really is. Let's see where we're going to go next. We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, guy.
Hi.
You know, a lot of us say we're happy to have you on the air. I hope you know we really mean it, even though we're not that articulate. We do mean it.
Well, Bill, I appreciate that. I most certainly do. I'm going to talk a little bit about that after the talk.
Okay. I happened to pick up that quote from England, and the only reason I caught it is because, like you, I'm a news junkie, and I happened to catch it on C-SPAN. It was not on any of the major networks that I saw. And it was like a group on a panel, and the young man read the thing, and everybody was halfway stunned. And then the leader said, "Well, can anybody discredit this memo?" And then there's like a big long silence. So that memo should be on every headline in this country.
Certainly should, and it wasn't. And it seems to me toward the end of the week that at least a few outlets started to pick up a little on it. I hope they
did. Right. And another thing, if you notice that Fox Network is always pushing that. How terrible the UN is with this oil for food scandal.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why that doesn't have any legs. Could it be that every time anybody buys gas that they blame their own politicians and the oil companies? We don't have time to worry about what Saddam did. We know he's a criminal.
Well, we already know some Americans were involved in it.
Oh, sure they were. Did you happen to catch a quote from Vicente Fox today?
No.
And this is what he thinks about our country. He says that the Mexican worker is more than happy to do the kind of work that even the American blacks don't want to do.
Hmm.
So here we are going back to the Jim Crow days. This is one of President Bush's favorite people. And it leads me to believe that it's not about white or black or Latino. It's about the corporate people want all the workers in a plantation. That's what they want. And it's just a matter of time before they just come out and say it.
Better believe it. Better believe it. When the new plantation comes around, Bill, there's going to be red, yellow, black, and white on that plantation,
it.
Baby.
A fresh is in its sight. And on this Jane Fonda thing, I'll be honest with you. I was mad at her for years, and I'm trying to forgive her because she said, I believe her now, that she said that was the biggest mistake she ever made, and she said she apologized for it.
I believe her.
But I would like to ask, why did the right-wing patriotic people are able to hate her so strongly, but they don't seem to have a problem with somebody like Senator John McCain that was in the Hotel Hilton for years being tortured? And doesn't John McCain deserve a modicum of respect, even if you don't agree with him? That he runs for president and the religious right goes down there with Pat Robertson, and Pat Robertson goes away from the Ten Commandments and smears him and ruins him? And, boy, I guess that's what a good Christian does.
You know, they beat John McCain to death with the worst kind of smears, and nobody batted an eye. You talk about hate. Oh, man.
And then Rush Limbaugh throws this out last week. He said, about everybody going after Tom DeLay. He said the Republicans can't defend him because the Republicans are they're not good at something like this. They don't go down to that level, you know. They're above it all, you know. This is the same Republicans that came for Max Cleland. How can you go up to somebody that only has one limb left and compare him to Bin Laden? There's nothing dirtier that you could come up with.
That's right. And, you know, I've talked to Max Cleland, and we had him on the show, and there isn't a more sincere man that I know of than Max Cleland. And when you think of what they did to him, Saxby Chambliss up in Georgia, it makes you want to cry.
Well, even if you disagreed with everything he said, how could you not have any respect for somebody that's been wounded like that? And finally, you remember the Clinton Chronicles by Jerry Falwell?
Oh, yeah.
He was able to throw the Ten Commandments into the dumpster and bear false witness knowingly to pull Bill Clinton down. And now I just happen to be watching the different religious stations, and there's a guy out there named Mr. Gimp, who is the lawyer for the Terri Schiavo parents. And they have a video out there for $35, and they recommend it for everybody's Sunday school class. And just from the way he was talking about it, it was just full of lies from one end to the other. So here we go. You'd think we'd be learning something over the years, but we don't seem to.
You're right, Bill. You're absolutely right. Gee, well, $35.
$35. I know you're going to rush right out and get one.
I will.
The worst thing was that they said that the only reason that anybody believed that Terri Schiavo didn't really want to live like that was because the husband said it. That was a direct lie.
Mm-hmm.
The court interviewed friends of Terri Schiavo over the years, and it wasn't hearsay because Terry couldn't speak for herself. The judge asked the friends, what would she want? And they said she wouldn't want to live like this. So if they're going to put this into a Sunday school class with a lie on it, that's about as bad as it gets. I hope I didn't pull you down, Guy, because we need you up and we need you fighting.
Well, you know, Bill, you're right. The question I want to ask everyone is, who would want to live like that?
Nobody would, you know.
No.
Thanks so much, Guy.
Thanks for calling, Bill. You know, Bill brought up our friend Rush Limbaugh, and I'm sorry. Someone told me a while back, why can't you just ever lay off a Rush Limbaugh? Well, you know, I think an insincere lying drug junkie that's on the air cutting everybody down every week, I don't think he deserves a break. So I want to play you just one little thing here before I get back to the phones. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist this. Here we go. I think. That's what happens when Ron trusts me with the button.
This story in the L.A. Times is just unreal. Here's the headline. Experts are at a loss on investing. Subheadline. Nobel winners and top academics fumble the sorts of decisions Bush's Social Security overhaul plan would ask average Americans to make. You know why? Because the Nobel winners and top academics are a bunch of egghead elitists who can't even button their shirts.
Well, Mr. Limbaugh, I just wanted to remind you of something. Just want to remind you of a couple of things, Mr. Limbaugh, when you tell that the Nobel laureates aren't able to even button their shirts. Dag Hammarskjöld, George Marshall, Albert Schweitzer, Woodrow Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, Martin Luther King, Andrei Sakharov, Anwar Sadat, Mother Teresa, Lech Walesa, Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, Mikhail Gorbachev, Nelson Mandela, John Hume, and a host of others. Are they a bunch of eggheads who can't button their shirts, Mr. Limbaugh, you fool? I dare you to come on this program and debate that issue with me. I dare you to defend what you just said. I dare you to defend the fact that you besmirch the character of all those people. No, Mr. Limbaugh, that's an exalted list of people. That is a list of people, and I could go on and on and on and on. Those are just the Peace Prize winners. We could go into physics. We could go into medicine. We could go into chemistry. We could go into all of the Nobel Peace Prize winners, a bunch of eggheads who can't button their own shirts, you fool. What a rotten, low-down, nasty thing to say. But you're over in Palm Beach making $35 million a year, lying your ass off to people, to 20 million people a week, with your Cuban cigars and having yourself a good old time. I hope you can sleep at night. But then people with no soul, people with no conscience, they don't have a trouble sleeping at night. They go right on. Anybody want to call and defend that statement by Mr. OxyContin Limbaugh? Please do. I welcome it. Let's go to Michael in Cape Coral, Florida. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Guy. How are you?
Very good.
Great to hear all the California listeners.
Yeah.
Yes, I have to ask them or tell them that I was instrumental in getting Barbara Boxer elected the first time.
Were you?
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. There's another thing I wanted to say. You always keep saying you're behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
Well, I was just elected to District 4 Commission Precinct Coordinator in Lee County.
Great.
And by 2006, they're going to know what behind enemy lines are. We are the enemy. We will be the enemy. They're already scared of us.
Well, we're coming on, and I don't know if the rest of you folks around the country know about it, but we made tremendous gains. We didn't win the elections,
right,
but we made huge gains in Lee and Collier County here.
You bet. Collier County, Gina's doing a great job down Collier County.
Oh, yeah,
County.
You bet.
Yeah.
And we're not going to give it up either.
No. I want anybody in District 4 to register 32 more people. If we do that by 2006... we'll have 150,000 registered Democrats in Lee County.
All right.
Yeah.
160.
That's my goal.
And proud ones at that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they will, Michael. And I know with you helping out over there, you and Steve and that whole crew.
Oh, we're ready to rumble.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Michael.
Yeah.
Great to hear from you. There's a real Democrat right there. I want to tell you right now. We're going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Yeah, fine. My blood pressure went up when you mentioned Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if he wouldn't have dropped out of college, perhaps he would have learned something. You know, for him to be a college dropout and really talk about the professors, you know, he's out of line. You know, I think what the Republicans really burnsome is that, you know, the elite group of college professors, you know, all the professors, teachers, you know, they are, as a whole, they've always been Democrat. He should get the hint by now that that's a more informed electorate, that those people know more than most Americans. They're more knowledgeable. They have gone to school longer and attained something that a lot of people have not. And if they are Democrats, it's for a reason. But he has to, since he cannot, you know, yes, like with you telling the truth and these people spinning during the day, you know, we're never going to catch up because they have managed to go one up on us and the Democrats, and that is to control speech, like the Cuban Americans did when they came to Miami, and that's why they elected like Lincoln Diaz-Balart, Mario Diaz-Balart, his brother, even with 95% of votes from Dade County. He got 95%. He told me that himself. And there was two other people there when he said that. I had two witnesses. And I told him that Castro was elected with 98% of the vote. But the thing that they have in common is that both control speech. In Miami, you cannot listen to a Spanish station without... the radio stations in Miami are the most listened radio stations in the entire state. As far as, you know, they have more than a million listeners locally.
Wow.
And they are owned by Cuban Americans that came over here with a lot of money, that have an interest in overthrowing Castro, because that way they can go back to the way things were in the 1950s and they can get the land back. They don't want all these Cubans that are coming back in now voting to open up relationships with the United States, because then these people would not be able to get the land back. There will be a transition instead of an overthrow. And so all these Cubans that come over here vote against their own self-interest. And that's exactly what the Republicans are doing to the United States. And these Cuban Americans have been doing it for 45 years. The United States, I think they've only been doing it for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, where the Republicans have been in the air lying and spinning things. And, yes, they can be funny, and they can be...
You must have a Republican at your front door. I heard the dog barking.
He heard the word Russ. I have him on the train. It's a kid, he shows up.
Oh, you're killing me.
But, you know, I think, Guy, that until the Democrats wake up and realize that the speech has to be, we have to get some of the speech back. We have to be able to be more fair. That what Reagan did, the regulating the airways, like many other things, have really allowed the people, the wealthy people, to put their foot in the door and control what they say. They lie, they spin it, they don't tell the truth, and you know, just like what you were saying about Rush Limbaugh, that is incredible that an idiot like that can even, address a thing like that. But people that listen to him do believe him, and that's what the point is. I think that the...
You're right. Those ditto heads are now saying that the Nobel laureates are can't button their shirts. Hey, got to move on, Juan. Top of the hour coming up. Thank you for listening, and it's good to hear your insight about the Cuban situation, because I know you know exactly what you're talking about.
Thank you
for calling. There's a man who knows the Cuban situation very, very well. Believe me when I tell you that. Hey, I want you to stay tuned through the top of the hour. We're going to go to news here in just a moment. I want you to stay tuned because I've got something very important to say. Especially concerning all of our local listeners here. All right, our local Democrats. I want you to pay attention after the top of the hour, because I got something I want to say to some of you. All right, not all of you, some of you. We'll be right back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by the Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. Stay tuned.
The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Janice Dean. It's all over. American Marines successfully completing Operation Matador along the Syrian border in Iraq. More than 125 terrorists killed, nearly 40 captured. 9 Marines died during the 7-day battle. Terrorists also on the run from drones, one of the CIA's unmanned predators believed to have killed a top Al-Qaeda operative in Pakistan.
The intelligence community is debating al-Yemeni's importance inside Al-Qaeda. Some officials describe him as a major figure in line to replace Abu Faraj al-Libi, who was Al-Qaeda's number 3.
Fox's Kelly Wright. No confirmation from the CIA or Pakistan. What a ride. Theme parks spending big bucks on summer improvements. One Cincinnati roller coaster looks like a bunch of Mini Coopers simulating chase scenes from the movie The Italian Job. Fox News. We report. You decide. More and more teenagers are discovering the joy and contentment of waiting. A recent analysis by the Heritage Foundation of Government Research that followed thousands of teenagers over several years found that teens who signed a pledge of abstinence, a virginity pledge, are far less likely to engage in risky behaviors than teens who did not sign a pledge. For example, only 30% of teens who consistently reported they had taken a virginity pledge became sexually active before age 18, compared to 63% of teens who did not. Girls who sign a virginity pledge are less likely to become pregnant as teens and to ever become pregnant out of wedlock. Arguments may rage over whether to promote abstinence among youth, but the research shows virginity pledges and abstinence education help young people make healthy choices. Research also shows that parents can have a strong influence on whether their children become sexually active at a young age. Talk to your kids about your values and what you expect of them.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Sam from Mobile, Alabama.
Wait, hold on. I don't want to volunteer.
Why not, Sam? We know you have the free time because you do absolutely nothing after school but sit in front of your computer.
Wait, you've been following me?
Yes, we have, Sam.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, let's have beautiful Cynthia here tell you what you could be doing.
Thanks, Bob. Hi, Samuel.
Hello?
Sam, you could take your computer knowledge and volunteer to teach people after school.
But
I don't know a thing about computers, but I'd love for you to teach me, Sammy.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Looks like we have another happy volunteer. To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community?
Okay.
Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
Right now, one of the hardest things is we see their friends. And we see how much their friends have grown and changed and how big they've gotten. And we cannot see how much Brandy Taylor and Sarah Francis have grown and changed. And just going through those milestone years.
Brandy Taylor and Sarah Wiggins were killed by a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When it's hot out, I want to jump right into the water, but my mommy has rules about the pool. My mommy says being safe means never, ever go near the water without an adult, never climb a fence or open a gate that's around a pool, and learn how to swim, because swimming's fun. How did my mommy get so smart? The National Spa and Pool Institute sent her a free brochure about water safety. Your mommy can be smart, too. Call 1-800-323-3996 for a free brochure today.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States allows that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
We believe there's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James back with you and glad to be here. You give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 in Collier County. I want to hear from you. Had lots of good callers that first hour. Not many local people, a couple anyway, and we'll get some more of the local people here later. Just to give you folks around the nation some idea of where I'm coming from here, I'm sitting in the studio here at the station, and I'm looking at the bookshelf here behind me, and I pull off, and of course, this is the station that broadcasts Limbaugh 6 hours a day, and got Hannity and Savage and Ingram and, I don't know, Lars Larson, Rusty Humphrey, and I don't know, and their dogs and cats, I don't know. Anyway, I pick up a book here. It's on a bookshelf right behind me. The Vast Left-Wing Conspiracy, the Untold Story of How Democrat Operatives, Eccentric Billionaires, Liberal Activists, and Assorted Celebrities Tried to Bring Down a President, and Why They'll Try Even Harder Next Time. Byron York, the National Review White House correspondent. Let's see, National Review. Oh, yeah. The National Review, I forgot. It's a riot looking at his, I never saw this book. how Democrats wooed billionaire George Soros. Oh, they don't have Richard Mellon Scaife on their side? Never before published evidence that filmmaker Michael Moore's claims about the political impact of Fahrenheit 9/11, claims breathlessly repeated by the media, had no basis in fact, he said. Let's see, where are we going here? How far left groups like MoveOn.org thrust themselves into the Democratic mainstream? Oh, my. This one's even better. The untold story of how one man pushed to the mainstream an idea once confined, get this, to the farthest fringes of the left, that George W. Bush is plotting to impose a Christian theocracy on America. Oh, and one last one here. How Democrats wooed billionaire George Soros by showing him a top-secret Republican plan. The work of top Bush political advisor Karl Rove. They actually got Karl Rove's plans, and they showed them to George Soros. Mysteriously obtained by party activists. Ooh. Wow. I think I must have had him as a guest on around here. That'd be good for lighting the fireplace, that book would. Hey, I promised you that I wanted to talk to some of our local folk here, and just for a couple of minutes, and I'll get back to the phones, I promise. I get lots of mail each week, and email, and phone calls, and I don't know what all. And I really think I've heard it all now. I'm a little bit miffed about something, a little bit upset, troubled. I'm not angry about it, I don't think, but I was notified this week that many local Democrats don't support this show because they think I'm too harsh toward the Republicans. And how will we ever convince them to come over on our side if we treat them that way? We should coddle them and show them that we have feelings for them, and gradually they'll come over to our side if we're real nice to them. You know, evidently, those of you who signed this letter, evidently you haven't heard about my email or some of the phone calls I get. I guess not. You know, if you're going to be fair, you would realize that I often have discussions with reasonable people from the right who genuinely want to have a dialogue with someone on the left who is knowledgeable about the political landscape here in America. And if you heard those discussions, you would know that I respect their opinions, and many of them respect mine as well. We don't have to agree, but we can calmly talk about our differences and perhaps even sometimes come to an agreement or agree to disagree on some of the issues. What some of you are concerned about is the fact that calls sometimes, shall we say, deteriorate into a shouting match and serve no purpose other than to maybe provide a little entertainment to the same people who watch NASCAR races to see the wrecks. You know, you've often heard me say that I expect our talks to be two-way conversations, and when you call and try and take control of the show for the expect purpose of promoting the right-wing agenda, you're going to get a fight from me. Now I can go on being the fairest talk show host in the country by taking all calls completely on screen, or we can start screening them and limit the calls to those who agree with us. I don't think that's fair at all. It isn't fair to my listeners who hear me say that I only talk about the truth on this program. It isn't truth when you screen calls to pick out the ones that help you make your point. And I do not do that, ever. Limbaugh, Hannity, Savage, and especially Laura Ingraham usually don't take calls which don't make them look good. They don't want to be challenged because they know that they cannot refute a lefty with the facts. Plain and simple, you cannot argue with the facts. You can deny the facts, which is what they always do when they, some of our most vociferous right-wing callers, that's what they do, is deny the facts, but it only makes you look the fool. You know, I'll continue to do this show the way I think is fair to everyone, and I cannot and will not allow radical right-wingers to call in and spew venom absolutely unopposed. Their hatred and downright lies, and I won't let them do it without challenging them. The radical right-wingers have plenty of their own forums to discuss their crazy agenda. They can call Limbaugh and the like and promote their misguided agenda all they want to. But if they try that on this program, they will be challenged. And if that turns into something unpleasant, then I'm sorry. But I want to remind you that I treat callers with the same respect that they show me. And a few of you have complained to me. I'm going to let it all hang out tonight. That's what I feel like. A few of you have complained to me that I shouldn't talk negatively about some of our Democratic office holders. Now, I ask you, if some elected Democrat casts a vote that absolutely flies in the face of the basic tenets of the Democratic Party, as in this vile bankruptcy bill just passed with the help of 73 Democrats, should I just overlook that and say, well, he or she votes with us most of the time, so it's okay this time? Is that what you want? Hey, I agree with those of you who say we can't be completely partisan. We can't be right all of the time, so why vote that way? I agree with that, but when a Democrat casts a vote so out of the Democratic Party mainstream, I'm going to call him or her to account every time. I did that with Senator Bill Nelson of Florida recently. He voted to confirm Alberto Gonzalez and Condoleezza Rice. I feel that was absolutely wrong. It was counterproductive for our country, and I told you my true feelings about that. And by the way, I told him my true feelings about that. You know, most Democrats agree with me about Gonzalez and Rice, but condemn me for speaking out against Senator Nelson votes. I don't understand that. Does that mean I should toe the party line? Should I be a good little Democrat and say that I agree with Senator Nelson and others who vote against the interests of America? If that's what you really expect from me, then you're going to be very disappointed with this program. You know, recently, and I told a lot of you, and have through email and so forth, I told you I had the opportunity to chastise Democratic Congressman Jim Davis, who's running for governor here, by the way, about his vote on that bankruptcy bill. And while I was talking to him, I found that I knew far more about the bill than he did. He really couldn't defend his vote with any facts at all. And all he really did was trumpet the Republican Party line that most bankruptcies were because of abuse and fraud. I know that to be untrue. And many of you know that to be untrue because you've done the math and you've done the research. Shouldn't I expect a man elected to office, charged with the responsibility of knowing what's in the bill, shouldn't I expect him to know the facts instead of fiction? Actually, in his case, I think he really does know the facts. It's just that the money from the banking industry meant more to the people who elected him than the people who elected him to office. I can tell you this about the Democrats because I had someone who has been a good friend of the show bitterly complain about my position on Senator Nelson and told me if I continue down that path, they will no longer support the show. I had a choice between truth and partisanship, and I'll choose truth every single time. I'm sorry. The bottom line is that if you want a liberal love fest each week and me saying yes sir, no sir to some of the nasty callers, then you have plenty of other choices on the radio. I'm here to promote the truth. You know that. I've stated that time after time, and I've backed it up time after time. I'm here to educate people who might not know all the facts. I know a lot of you don't have time to get all the facts. That's my job. I can't do anything about those who will not accept the fact. And you've heard some of the callers. That's just the way it is. And I'm sorry if it offends some of you, but I have to remain true to myself because if I don't, then I'll just become another phony like Limbaugh, Hannity, Ingram, Savage, and the legions of others just like them. And I will not do that. I will not sell my principles. Not ever. I wonder what you have to say about that. I wonder if any of the people that wrote the letters are listening and have had any comments about that. I really would like to know. Oh, let's go to the phones and let's talk to Jim in Naples. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I totally agree with you about being against the war in Iraq. Where I disagree with you and other callers and other people is that it's solely Bush's war. You made a very good point with the bankruptcy bill that was passed by an overwhelming majority of the Senate. How many Democratic senators voted to fund the war in Iraq?
Most of them.
And that's a shame because why didn't they filibuster? They know how to filibuster the judicial nominee.
I think, if you want my opinion on it, and I certainly haven't interviewed all of them, I think they drank the Kool-Aid. Turn your radio down a little bit there, if you will. I think they drank the Kool-Aid, and I also think a lot of them were intimidated because all that talk was going around at the time. There was a heavy, heavy campaign going on about anybody that didn't vote for it being anti-American and treasonous and all that. I think that got to them. It shouldn't, but it did.
Well, I'm glad you agree with that, but I would like to see the criticism directed not just at Bush, but the entire Washington establishment for going along with this war, because if Senators Kennedy and Byrd and others would have filibustered, I know I'm a utopian dreamer here, but there is a chance that they could have educated the American people and the world to the true fraud that it was.
You're right. I have no quarrel with what you're saying.
I'm glad you agree that way, and, you know, I don't always agree with you on the issue, but I know what you're talking about when you talk about holding the principle, and I think you should keep doing it.
Well, I will, and I'm stubborn, and I've got my principles, and I'm going to keep them. You know, you're right on the money, Jim. You are. I don't disagree with what you said about the way this started out. I was sick at heart. You know, I was like a lot of people. I swore that I wouldn't back anybody that vote for that war, and I ended up voting for Kerry anyway because I didn't have any other choice. But I was sick about it. I really was.
I understand, and that's why some people are criticized for voting third party. They're criticized for voting for Nader or others. And I think that's wrong. I think the more and more people that vote third party show the establishment that we're not content with these bipartisan deals that they make.
And deals is the word, Jim. You better believe it. Deals is the word. And
because what these Republicans don't understand, and this goes to the whole filibuster issue, is that we do have separation of powers. And no matter who's the president, it happens to be Bush, but if it's Clinton, it doesn't matter. The job of the Congress is to check the imperial desires of the president of the executive branch. And I'll tell you, all of them, they're so obsequious, they just do whatever the president wants when it comes to military action. And they absolutely should be more critical. And especially the minority party had an opportunity to do something historic. Because we know what happens when Congress goes along with this. You see, now that we're there, even Howard Dean and others who know better, frankly, they say, well, now we have to finish the job or we can't just leave abruptly. And we're stuck. We're stuck in a quagmire for years. And it's...
I think we lost Jim. Where'd you go, Jim? I'm sorry. Jim, we lost you there. I will agree with what he said. I think we are stuck. I think we're in a quagmire. I think we're in a Vietnam situation. It's deteriorating rapidly, right in front of our eyes. Man, you know, what do we do? I've got the big old bumper sticker on the back of my car that says support our troops, bring them home now. I don't care. I do not go along. Absolutely don't go along with saying let's play this thing out no matter where it goes. I don't agree with that. You know, we spoke a while back with Jim McGovern, and he went to Baghdad. He went all through it and all. He was part of a delegation of, I think it was about 8 members of Congress and Nancy Pelosi was along with them. And anyway, they went to Iraq, and you know, everything that we've been told about the Bush administration, by the Bush administration, by Iraq, has been either an outright lie or overwhelmingly false, and we all know that now. You know, there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. We didn't have flowers and candy. You know, the whole thing didn't go right. And if things are in Iraq are so much better, and you know, they keep saying that. Bush keeps saying it. Rumsfeld keeps saying it. You go over there and talk to the top brass. They keep saying it. If things are so much better, I have a question for them. If they're so much better, why aren't we able to bring some of the troops home? Why aren't we decreasing the number of troops if everything's getting so much better, like they say? And they do paint a nice picture. You know, why is the insurgency showing signs of getting stronger instead of weaker? You know, why are we continuing to pass to vote more and more and more money over there, billions of dollars that we can't afford? You know, according to the World Food Program, hunger amongst the Iraqi people is getting worse than it was during Saddam Hussein's days. Can you imagine that? And yet we've liberated these people. Another one of their new government officials assassinated today in front of his house. God knows how many bombings this horrible past week. Horrible. And yet it gets cursory time on the evening news. They don't even cover it anymore. You know, McGovern was talking about during one of the briefings, General David, what's his name, Petraeus. You know, he's the one in charge of overseeing the training of these vaunted Iraqi security forces we keep hearing about. He told McGovern that they had 147,000 Iraqis trained. Yeah. And that sounded really good. So if we had 147,000 of them trained, why can't we start bringing some of our people home? But, you know, they asked Petraeus a little more, and he finally relented a little bit and said, well, maybe really only about a fourth of those 147 were actually combat capable. You know, why didn't he say that to start out with? But he lied, and he gave the company, you know, the party line. He also was talking about the morning of his visit over there. U.S. military officials were crowing to him about a recent operation in where the Iraqi security forces had killed 85 insurgents. Boy, they had a feather in their cap over that. But by the afternoon, when the real report came in, he found out it was a gross exaggeration. McGovern asked General Petraeus about our embassy about U.S. plans to build military bases in Iraq, which, you know, kind of smells like, to the average bear, that we're going to have a long-term military presence in Iraq. And yet he was told, he said emphatically, that there are no plans to construct military bases. And yet Congress recently passed a huge, huge supplemental wartime appropriations bill that included, at the request of the Bush administration, $500 million for military base construction in Iraq. Why is that? Why is that? You know, McGovern spoke to Hosni Mubarak that told him about all the big mistakes. You know, the army, he told McGovern, the army you disbanded is now the army you're fighting. He's absolutely right. They have conceded that there was more electricity available in Iraq before the invasion than afterwards. The insurgency is using our presence over there as an organizing tool to recruit members and weapons. You know, the only honest and direct responses that McGovern got from any American in Iraq was from the soldiers, the common soldiers. They told him that to be instructed, and this is the dirty part. They told McGovern that they'd been instructed by their superiors not to share any complaints with visitors. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And yet, McGovern is heart sick that Congress isn't being inundated with letters and phone calls and faxes and emails and street protests demanding an end to this terrible war in Iraq. No, people seem to just have general apathy towards it. And how do we understand that? I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Cape Coral, rather than Fort Myers.
Oh, Cape Coral. Hi, John.
I was going to frame it one way, but now that you've opened it, I'd like to frame it another way. And I've said this to you before, and maybe you'll disagree with me, but I think there's a simple answer to this whole thing, Guy. When you do something illegal, you cover it up. And my contention is this war is illegal under the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, which says only Congress has a right to declare war. And if anybody has any doubt about it, go to the Constitution.
When did Congress abrogate their right to stand up to that? When did Congress lose control, in your opinion, John?
Well, I guess after World War II, when it started with the Korean War, the Vietnamese War, all the other things, all the other wars we've been in, and then when they had a War Powers Act, but they're not following the Constitution of the United States. What I'm suggesting, Guy, is there's nothing liberal in what I'm saying.
That's true. You're right.
You know, I hear Rush Limbaugh saying, you liberals. Well, what's liberal about saying the people running our country should follow constitutional law?
Well, we heard that parroted over and over and over again, the rule of law, during the last Democratic administration.
Now let me go into a little further. By the way, I was about to say and open up with saying, well, maybe this Bolton nomination is what the Bush wants because we are the bullies of the world and we don't follow law. We don't follow it when we have a preemptive war and we go to war on the basis of a president who has not got the right to go to war under our Constitution. He violates our own constitutional law.
He fits their idea of that perfectly, John. He does. He's someone said this week, why would we put somebody in the UN that probably any corporation in America wouldn't even hire?
Because he's going to fit the mold.
Yeah. He's going to go in there and push to throw his weight around.
And I think he fits the mold perfectly. Let me go one step further, if I might. We again violate our own constitution, our own system of laws, as we are holding people in Guantanamo and other parts of the country, the world, and we're not charging them. We do not give them the right of habeas corpus. We do not give them the right of attorneys. We do not give them the right of trial. We violate every constitutional guarantee that's written under our laws. And we are actually, I would say, running a concentration camp down there.
Oh, and then this week we hear the sorry news. They've flushed a Koran down the toilet in front of these guys. My God, is that necessary? Aren't we supposed to be a little better than other people?
Well, I would tell you, I think we've done far worse than what we're doing to people and torturing them.
Probably so.
I mean, there was an article in Time magazine a week ago, I have it, which talks about an eyewitness talking about the torture that takes place in our prisons down there. And the fact that, again, law does not apply. The Constitution doesn't apply. We send people to other countries so we're sure that the Constitution doesn't apply. When did this country ever operate this way?
Oh, and you know, even now, this administration is giving a wink and a nod to the human rights problem in Uzbekistan, and we are sending prisoners there to be tortured. When do we start this stuff? When did we... It's sickening.
I would remind you, after World War II, one of the things we did is we said, we are not like the Nazis, we take the high ground. And even with German prisoners of war, we had rights of law at the Nuremberg trials. And we have totally, under this administration, taken an about face.
Well, if they could get out of every treaty we had, they would. If they could get out of every one of the environmental issues that we've passed over the years, they would. They would scrap everything and start over.
Guy, you brought up one other issue. Can I just briefly say
certainly,
something?
Certainly, John. Certainly.
You brought up the bankruptcy issue. And there's another pressing issue which you haven't mentioned that bothers me. And I'm hoping I'm not too far off topic. But that's United Airlines and what they're doing to people with pensions.
I think it's
the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you talk about people, what about people who work all their lives, think they have a contract, a commitment, put their money in, have matching funds, and all of this disappears in a flash of a second where they hit their elder years and they're left without a penny?
Oh, actually they're not left without Penny because this, I can't think of all of a sudden what this outfit is that that picks it up. It's kind of like the FDIC, only it is.
Well, they certainly won't get what they put it
as. No, I heard, you're right. I heard some United Airline employees that came out of that judge's ruling, came out of there and was interviewed right outside the door, said they went in there with a $1,700 pension and they came out with $800.
You know, when you talk about bankruptcy, suddenly you're being gypped out of money that you thought you had, which was contracted. You know, there's a commitment. And if this starts here, where is this going to end? And then they're going to play around with Social Security. What's going to happen to people when they get older?
Oh, certainly. It's the tip of the iceberg, like you said. It's going to be a domino effect. You wait, people. There's going to be more and more and more of this chicanery done by United Airlines. And, John, you know as well as I do, there are people at the top of the totem pole in United Airlines taking home big fat checks, probably golden parachutes out of there when they go belly up, the whole ball of wax. But the guy at the bottom, he's going to get it.
And if it's United Airlines and there's been other airlines, who's to follow?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as I say, it's it all begins to, people had better look. I mean, when our constitutional rights disappear, when contractual rights disappear, when everything we think is guaranteed in this country, you can wave all the flags, all the patriotism, but all the ideals that we fought for have disappeared.
Indeed. Indeed, I agree, John.
I mean, which is more important, the ideas or the flag?
You know, we're accused right now of painting a picture of doom and gloom. What are we supposed to do when stuff like this starts happening?
By the way, you brought up one other little thing, and I must comment on it. How are you running the show?
Oh.
Let me put something to you, and maybe I'm a minority here, but I love it. If I'm home, and I wasn't here last week to get in because I had a personal obligation, but I tell you, if I'm here, I put on your show. I enjoy it. I want you to continue it just the way you do it because I think it's the only decent talk radio we have in Southwest Florida. And if you change it, I wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, John, I thank you for that.
So if you're talking about people complaining, here's one who would be complaining if you changed.
All right. Thanks.
And keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Hey, we'll get back to the phones in just a moment. We got to pause for a break right now. Ron's over there screaming at me. You can't hear him in here, but he's screaming at the top of his lung, go to a break, go to a break. He does that to me. Anyway, we'll be right back with a whole lot more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Right now, workers are putting up the final drywall slabs, and you can see right here, they're putting the finishing touches on the kitchen and making sure that they have enough cabinet space to cook.
In the southeast corner of San Francisco, hope is building. Construction is underway on 36 beautiful new apartments for seniors who struggle to afford a place to live.
This is going to be, for many of these seniors, the first time that they've ever had their own kitchen or their own bathroom, if you can imagine.
For a lucky few, these apartments will mean the end of living in garages, basements, or choosing between medicine, food, and rent, all because neighbors are uniting to say yes to affordable housing.
It becomes really a symbol of hope, a symbol that, yes, there is something that we can do about the crisis of affordable housing.
Today, 1 in 10 seniors in America lives in poverty, but one by one, with one more pair of hands working with others, the picture of poverty can change. For easy ways you can help, visit povertyusa.org. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
News Talk 1240 and 1270.
Dad, pass the gravy.
This year, United Way helped provide shelter to over 5,808 homeless people in Columbus. And it doesn't matter. To do so, we worked with scores of local businesses and government and community leaders. And it doesn't matter. Together with hundreds of volunteers, contractors, and tradespeople, we put a roof over their heads. And it still doesn't matter. It's not the places per se that really matter. What matters are the new leases on life within them.
Hey, Dad, it's the Nolans.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring the results that matter where you live.
So, how are you getting along?
We're getting settled.
What matters? United Way.
Number 400,611.
Number 400,000.
This year, United Way helped train over 400,000 jobless people.
100,902.
700,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter. We helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
1,200,000.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we help restore.
My name is David.
The communities we unite.
Jake.
The newfound optimism.
Sarah.
The sense of purpose and of community coming together.
Lee.
Diane.
Louisa.
Michael.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way.
It's time to go red for women to raise awareness of heart disease, women's number one killer. The American Heart Association's campaign, sponsored by Macy's and Pfizer, urges women to learn about heart disease to reduce their risk. Proceeds from products from Swarovski Crystal, Pantene, OPI Products, St. John, Lemisphere, Walgreens, Ross Dress for Less, and Angel Reads will benefit heart disease and stroke research. For information, visit www.americanheart.org.
30 seconds.
My heart. The next time you have a plane to catch, remember that being prepared can help you fly through the security line. Julia Ryan, Vice President of Traveler's Advantage, explains.
Travelers should put all metal objects, including keys and cell phones, in their carry-on bags. They should also be ready to take their shoes off and remove their belts if they have big metal buckles. That can save time at the metal detector.
To learn about membership in Traveler's Advantage, visit traveler'sadvantage.com or call 1-877-841-1335.
To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, I'm so glad that you allow me to come into your homes and your cars every weekend. I do appreciate it. I really do. I enjoy doing this program. I enjoy your encouragement. I need your encouragement, and I need your help, and I most especially appreciate all the help those of you send me reference material and all that. And I also want to remind you one other thing. It costs money to keep this show on the air. And we get some of our expenses covered by a sponsor now, but we also we don't get them all paid. So we do need your help. If you can go to paypal.com and donate a few bucks, we most certainly appreciate it. Yours truly does not take any pay for this program. We put our heart and soul into it for the last about 2.5 years now, and we appreciate your help and hope you'll continue on helping the program. It's at www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can go on there and find a place to donate. It's at PayPal, by the way. I want to take a quick moment before I get back to the phone. By the way, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I just want to take a quick moment here to show you how the lies and distortions and desperation of the Republican Party, the ones that are in there now. I want you to listen to this. If I can get this thing going here. Come on, play for me.
Those of us who are Christian are being told that we are using religion against our opponents. Let me tell you something. I've been in Washington most of my life, and this may be the most preposterous charge I've ever heard. I've reread what the people have said in this debate, and no one has challenged the faith of anybody on the other side. Not Teddy Kennedy or Joseph Biden or Harry Reid. And to accuse us of doing so is nothing but a smear.
Well, I'm sure all of you recognize, or many of you recognize that, is good old Chuck Colson. Okay, you remember Chuck Colson, the felon sent to prison during the Nixon administration, kind of fancies himself as a priest. I guess he actually is an ordained minister now. I don't know for whom. Certainly not for my church. But he's in there, and I think he's come down with a big case of amnesia, the Media Matters people. And by the way, I want to thank the folks at Media Matters. We get a lot of references from them, and happy to we're going to get Dave on the show here some of these times really soon. But, you know, you just heard Chuck Colson say that those of us who are Christians have been told we're using religion against our opponents. Let me tell you something. I've been in Washington most of my life, and this may be the most preposterous charge I've ever heard. I reread what people have said in this debate, and I want to emphasize this part. No one has challenged the faith of anybody on the other side. Well, Mr. Colson, let me just refresh your memory a minute. Focus on the family founder, one of my favorites, James Dobson. And that's with all the contempt that I can give you on his name. I'll quote him. Senator Patrick Leahy is a God's people hater. I don't know if he hates God, but he hates God people. That's James Dobson. Oh, we haven't been saying anything against people of faith. The Family Research Council president, Tony Perkins, another one of my favorites. And I quote, as the liberal anti-Christian dogma of the left has been repudiated in almost every recent election, the courts have become the last great bastion for liberalism. Jim Herson of Newsmax, all you right-wingers' favorite news source, quote, the libs found out about Bill Frist's plans and summoned their anti-God squad to warn folks about the scary religious people and their scary speaker. The usual suspects, Senator Harry Reid, Ted Kennedy, Chuck Schumer, The New York Times, People for the American Way, and even Bill Maher all expressed consternation. And one last one here, our favorite, Sean Hannity, okay? There is blind hatred by the elite social liberal toward anyone and anything who dares to name the name of Christ. I don't know. I could be wrong, Mr. Coulson, but that sure sounds to me, that the faith of people on the other side of your ideological beliefs have had their faith challenged tremendously. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Good show, as always.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I don't know how you can call yourself a liberal when you want to conserve what we have in this country. it just boggles my mind. I've got some quick sound bites before I get to Bill Frist. Washington looked like a B-movie this week. People running everywhere. We've seen that in the theaters. But that's what Washington is right now, a B-movie. Dennis Kucinich, he's a Republican, and I've heard these ads. The Republican Party has run against him in his own state. They eat their own.
You're talking George Voinovich.
Oh, Del Voinovich. I'm sorry. I'm so excited here. I'm getting my names wrong.
I know what you meant.
But it's just interesting that if you don't go with the Republican line, they'll just eat you up. I wanted to say kill you, but I don't want to get that.
Well, you know, John, a couple of weeks ago we played an ad that they're bombing Ohio with about against George Voinovich.
That's right. That's right. And then this Bolton, I want them to approve him. I want him to be in the United Nations. The Republicans just won't understand what's going on in their party until it just self-destructs. They just can't believe this stuff's going on. They can't accept this stuff is going on. They keep making excuses for the president, who incidentally, during this B-movie, was riding a bicycle, and Cheney was at the White House. I also saw, while the president was holding hands with a Saudi Arabian prince, that Cheney comes out of the Texas White House, or whatever the hell that is out there. He's standing on the porch. So who is doing the work here?
Can you tell me another president that in 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, out riding a bike for 2.5 hours?
Yeah, and then I saw a report where he's got an M3P player, which is a big deal right now, and they must have got some money for promoting this, but there's a guy that actually picks out the music that goes on this thing so the president can listen to it. God, can't he pick out his own music while he's riding his bike?
John, come on.
Oh,
that involves some multitasking, and I don't think that Mr. Bush is capable of that. And by the way, while he's out riding that bike, of course he has Uncle Dick back there, and he probably had to ask Uncle Dick if he could go bike riding. And he's got Karl Rove running the show.
Yeah. And now last night on Now, I saw David Brancaccio, a very good show last night. And they concentrated on our veterans and how they're getting shortchanged. And a lady wrote a book of 20 veterans who've come back, and one had an arm missing, a grenade blew it off, and he says when he's out and about now, he's back in the country, and he's getting along pretty good. And people ask him, well, how did you lose your arm? Well, I lost it in Iraq. And they say, is that war still going on?
Oh.
It is sad.
Oh.
Now, Ahmed Chalabi, last week when I called, I forgot to mention him. He's the guy that gave Rumsfeld all the false information about the weapons of mass destruction. And this isn't Bush's war. This is actually Rumsfeld's war. He wanted to go to war. He engineered this. He listened to Ahmed Chalabi because that's what he wanted to hear, and that was the reason we could go to war. Ahmed Chalabi now is the oil minister in Iraq. and his son is in the new government, and his son is in the financial ministry there.
Well.
Ahmed Chalabi got us involved over there because he wants to be president of Iraq, and it looks like he's getting a little closer every year. This is a guy that when we went in there, he's supposed to have a battalion of our troops that he was going to lead or do something, but our guys on the ground were smart enough to put him in the back somewhere and lock him in a closet. Then he ended up going to Iran and giving them secret information. We were going to arrest him. I don't know whatever happened to that. But now he's back into the fold for some reason, and it's just sad. And I had to hear this agreement with England and the United States on Cuban radio last night. They were going over it in great detail.
Oh, really? On Cuban radio?
On Cuban radio. It's shortwave and in English broadcast, but I got to hear the whole story. I can't hear that on my own media in my own country.
Well, maybe we ought to have Radio Marti out of Miami turn their signal around and broadcast the truth to us instead of trying to get it into the kids.
Yeah, the 20 or 30 million we're spending for that. Bill Frist, it was interesting. We had a local program the other day in the morning that discussed a science instructor in a high school that dissected a dog. This dog, apparently, they put it under anesthesia. They dissected it and took out its stomach. And the dog was eventually going to be euthanized because it's got some type of disease. But the thing on the show, these guys were saying, now, do you think this is right? How do you feel about this? And all these callers who are probably Republicans in the morning that called in were just appalled that somebody would do this to an animal and also in front of a bunch of students. But, you know, as you said last week, Bill Frist did the same thing studying to be a doctor. He feigned that he was an animal lover, adopted cats, took them home, dissected them. I don't know if he brought them out of the anesthesia and let them live or whether they died or what, but you said he did admit this. He has apologized for it. But I wonder if these Republicans that called in the other morning are going to vote for this man when he runs for president.
Sure,
will the Republican Party support this type of conduct?
Sure they will.
Okay.
Sure they will.
Okay.
They'll close their eyes to anything he does. Anything.
Well, it is sad and it's a shame. Sometime I'll look up in the dictionary. When I've looked up in the dictionary conservative and liberal, these people, it's opposite. The definitions, people have to go look it up for themselves to realize what I'm talking about. But liberals conserve, and conservatives are liberals. They want to tear down. They want to change. They don't like things the way they are. So I don't know how this got reversed, but it's also like democracy, which I talked about last week. We don't live in a democracy. We pledge to a republic. There isn't a democracy on this planet, and I don't know why they misuse that word, but people are buying a load, and they just don't realize.
Well, I wish our representatives in this representative republic would remember that they are representatives and are there to represent our views. Somehow they lose track of that the minute they're sworn in.
Well, and you missed, and I didn't miss it. I just happened to flip by when Connie Mack was on the floor of the House talking about Venezuela and doing something down there. And then I saw a lady last week wanting to indict some former president of some African nation, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, folks. Why aren't you working on things in this country instead of Venezuela and Africa and all the rest of it? We need representatives here, not...
Dear Connie Mack, Cornelius McGillicuddy.
But you got to give Tom DeLay credit. I've heard that he is responsible for getting us the road money to expand I-75 down here, so I guess we need to look to Texas for our representation.
Ooh, yeah.
Thank you, Guy. It's a great show.
Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. I want to take a moment before I get back to the phones. And by the way, give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 in Collier County. I'm a little bit surprised that none of our conservative Republican friends, or neocon friends, whatever you want to call them nowadays, I'm surprised they don't want to call in and defend Mr. Bush concerning this memo that got out. I really am. I'm surprised that I have. I want to take a moment. You know, I mentioned to you just a moment ago about supporting the program, and I want to take just a moment before I get back to the phones to thank some of you folks who regularly support this program. Robert DeVale, Marie Nelson, Ventura Barada, Steve Kimmel, Helen Poker. Helen's been around a long time with us. Tim Lyman, Tanya Bravaldi, Joe Hinckley, Pamela Stanquist, Jeffrey Hales, Leslie Alexander, the Computer Center, Nancy Mizrak, Marcus Vidal, and Susan Westine Novat. And also some of our recent contributors, Richard Lent over at Lehigh Acres, Florida, and Elaine Miller in Newton, Iowa, Virginia Miller in Newton, Iowa, Bill Beaumont in Florida, $10 money order every single month, just like clockwork. You can count on that like you can count on the sun coming up in the morning. Ed and Cheryl Hayes of Buffalo, New York. There's a warm place in the wintertime. Ed and Cheryl Hayes of Buffalo, New York. We got Wendy Montgomery from Memphis, Tennessee. Elvis City, Mark Ball from Portland, Oregon, one of the most beautiful places in the country, Ed and Maureen Wilkinson from Portland, Oregon, Chris Kern from Hudson, Florida, and John Roberts from Tarzana, California. Thank you. And to each and every one of you folks, I'm talking to you personally, thank you. Thank you very much for supporting this program. I appreciate it far more than you could know. Believe me, I do. I'm not just saying that. Let's go and talk to... Well, she's just our radio sweetheart, Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hello?
Yes.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, well, we're here.
Okay. I have about three different little things I'd like to talk to you about.
All right.
And Juan was talking about the Cubans here in the United States, particularly in Miami.
Yes.
And it brought to my mind something I'd wanted to say about, you remember when we had little Elian here?
Oh, yes.
Well, I watched all that stuff. I watched a lot of it on, they had it like 24 hours, I think, of it on TV, and I watched CNN and all like that, you know. And you know how they were out in front of the place every day where he was staying, and, you know, they had mobs every day, people protesting and everything. And I remember one time, you know, she had two brothers, the woman that was living there, and I don't know if it was one of them or if it was someone that looked like one of them, so I can't really say for sure. But out in the crowd, there was a young woman saying, well, maybe he should be with his father. And that man turned around and slapped her.
Wow.
Across the face. How dare you say that?
Hmm.
And to me, I thought, that little boy doesn't need to be around that.
Yeah, that's
know?
Right. That's right.
And another thing, I think that points out what Juan was talking about, them not allowing for any, for any differences of opinion. And another thing I want to talk about, the bankruptcy. I've come to conclusion this week. I heard them talking about that they were thinking about building debtors' prisons.
Oh.
And I don't know if that was a joke, if somebody really has said that, but who knows? We'll find out soon.
Can we put in our preference for good cells right now?
Well, I think that what they're going to do is they're going to give us the choice of debtor's prison or the farms that the gentleman was talking about before.
Ah.
See, but they'll probably put in debtor's prisons. They'll probably put us in there because they know we're going to try to get out or something, let somebody know what's going on.
Oh, man. That's the
and
sound
they have
of the
all
man
the money
working
and all
on
the
chain
land
game.
And everything for their self, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm a farm boy, you know. If I had to stay out of debtor's prison, I'll plant tomatoes or something.
But think about it, you know. And then the other thing, talking about your show, I was perturbed with Bill Nelson, too, about the Gonzales vote, and I had written him that about it before he had voted, asking him please to not do it. But I actually got an email from him afterwards, and he said that he didn't see any reason not to, you know, he went on about the different reasons and all, and which weren't very reasonable to me, but
yeah.
Then he did write me about it, but I thought I couldn't figure that out at all.
Well, you got to look at their campaign contributions in many matters.
But then we have to remember in Florida, remember 2000, all the different Democrats that were supported Bush. We have to remember that. I mean, we had one from Winter Haven, Crawford, you know, the Secretary of Agriculture,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, I'm just going to say that old song says, to you, Guy Jang, stay as sweet as you are.
Well.
Don't ever change.
You're too kind.
Because we need you, and they can listen to something else if they don't want to. That's what we need. We need communication, you know, and back and forth issues instead of being afraid, you know, of disagreeing with somebody. We have to learn to disagree.
That's right. Juanita, I thank you for your call, my dear.
Okay.
Nice to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Winter Haven, Florida. Let's go to Miguel in Cape Coral. Hi, Miguel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to follow up on the stuff that Juan said. I think he started a good topic of conversation. Now, I am a conservative, former GOP member. I lived in Miami for 20 years. And I got to tell you, the way the so-called Cuban Republicans have mismanaged the city has led to basically a lot of other Hispanics leaving the city and coming to Southwest Florida. But what I was profoundly dismayed when Mario Diaz-Balart, when he was in the Florida legislature, gerrymandered a district that now encompasses part of Collier County.
Yeah.
So they're following us here, and it's very improper. I think not only that, he violated the term limits provision by switching from the Senate to the House. He did that deliberately. Then, along with Tom Feeney, carved themselves a nice congressional districts. So you got Tom Feeney of Orlando in the House, and also Mario Diaz-Balart. Same thing with Connie Mack. These people did not have any ties with Southwest Florida at all. All they're doing is going to the district that they created for them to win. No competition. Now, the problem that we had is possibly we have when we had the race with the McCoy and the Green, we got local candidates. Now, you might disagree with them, but at least they were local.
Yes.
Okay, and now you got this doctor all of a sudden jumped into the race, and when you tally the votes, okay, Connie Mack would have lost had there only been two candidates. But the vote was split, and now we have a carpetbagger that's not from Southwest Florida, quote-unquote, representing us. This is a man who's also like Bruce Kyle, a man who's can never reach his office. Every time you call and try to make an appointment, he's never there. And this is our so-called representative. And this is for me. Basically, I've started calling myself a conservative, not a Republican, because I think, in my opinion, both parties abandoned the middle class a long time ago.
I got to move fast. I got a hard break coming up right now. I thank you for your call, and I hope you'll call back. We'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics, right after the news.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
News Radio. I'm Janice Dean. Operation Mystery. U.S. officials say an unmanned drone fired on an Al-Qaeda operative in Pakistan, but Pakistani officials deny the incident.
They believe Haitham al-Yamani was killed in the operation. While officials tell Fox News this was not a U.S. military operation, that does not rule out a strike by the CIA using one of its own predators.
Fox's Steve Santani in Washington. Rising to the challenge, the American military calling Operation Matador a success rooting out Iraqi terrorists at the Syrian border.
They say they've killed more than 125 insurgents, capturing another 39, and they're hoping that those 39 can lead them on the trail to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Fox's Andrew Stack. Tiger's nails are clipped. Tiger Woods missing the cut at the PGA event for the first time in 7 years. The golfer made it to the weekend rounds in 142 consecutive tournaments. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Now, 2004 was Southern and Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005, bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20,000 for your all-new 05 Altima. $15,988, that's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres. More than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars. $1,000, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima, $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Vince, 215-718 and 473-662. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fee.
A group of veterans who were wounded in combat are engaged in a new kind of battle on a different type of front. They are working to find ways Americans can cut their prescription drug costs, and it seems they may be winning the fight. The Military Order of the Purple Heart recently launched a prescription and over-the-counter drug program that's available to its members and the general public. The program allows people to order drugs from Canadian pharmacists at significant discounts. There is no tax, and shipping is free for orders over $200. Any order over $50 receives a $5 discount. All products sold through the service meet FDA standards. The program comes at a time when studies show as many as a third of seniors in the U.S. have no prescription drug coverage, yet prescription drug spending increases each year. It's hoped the Purple Heart program will help reverse this trend. For more information or to participate in the program, call 800-469-0955. If the buyer mentions Purple Heart while ordering, a small donation will be made to the order by the pharmacy. Or visit purpleheart.org and click on the prescription link.
Here's an air travel tip. Be sure you have all your belongings before leaving airport security.
30 seconds to open.
Julia Ryan of Traveler's Advantage explains.
Travelers frequently leave their laptops at the security point. Laptops should be packed so they can easily be taken out and put in their own plastic containers for x-raying. And be sure to label your laptop just in case you do leave it behind.
To learn about membership and Traveler's Advantage, visit traveler'sadvantage.com or call 1-877-841-1335.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
There's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show. James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, 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 here we are back for the last, what do we got, about 55, 54 minutes of the program. And glad to have you along with us this evening. We know a lot of you get to listen to the entire program, start to finish each week. And my goodness, I do appreciate that. I really do. 888-602-7500-7501-7502-7503-7504. 479-5540 locally and 263-6570 here in, down in Collier County. In case you folks don't. Hey, I didn't do this earlier in the program. My memory's going bad. I want to read you this is a multiple choice. Well, not really multiple choice. It's a yes or no. give me an answer on this. I want you to know if you know who this is, okay? I want to give you a quote, and you tell me who said it. The time has come that the American people know exactly what their representatives are doing here in Washington. Are they feeding at the public trough, taking lobbyist paid vacations, getting wined and dined by special interest groups, or are they working hard to represent their constituents? The people, the American people, have a right to know. I say the best disinfectant is a full disclosure. Anybody want to guess who said that? Why, it's Tom DeLay. Oh, how righteous the man is. My, oh my, it's hard to believe. But, yes, he did say that. A couple of quick things. I know this is inconsequential to most of you, and we talk about things that aren't big in the news, but I do want to really say something about one of our local people here, is Vonzell Solomon. We in Fort Myers here are so proud of her. I was coming down the street tonight to come here to the studio, and I believe it's the post office where she works. Has got a sign out, Baby Solomon is our idol, and there's just a lot of buzz. She flew into town today on a private jet, or was it yesterday? Yesterday, on a private jet, had a crowd of 5,000 crazy people with signs and all welcome here. And she's the sweetest, most honest doggone. It's a thrill that she's still on that program and getting her music out. She's so very talented, as are the other two left. It's going to be a dogfight to see who wins it, but any of the three could win of it. And our community here of Fort Myers, it's always wonderful to have things to rally around in your community, and I sure sense that this community is rallying around Baby V. And also, I want to say one other thing. I want to say something to our friends on Democratic Underground. I'm so proud of you. I really am. I'm very, very proud of our community on Democratic Underground. We had one of our people that's been on the show quite a few times investigating the black box voting issue, traveled the country speaking, still doing some of it, put forth a heroic effort in the black box voting scandals, and it's a man by the name of Andy Stevenson. And many of our local people may not know this, but all the folks on Democratic Underground know about it. Andy has come down with a virulent form of cancer and is, well, frankly, in desperate need of surgery for this. The people, it's hard to talk about, the people on Democratic Underground this past week, in about 3 days, raised $50,000 for his surgery. $50,000. The Johns Hopkins Hospital, where they, I understand, they do the best work for this type of surgery he has to have. It's very rare. They demanded that they have $50,000 or $25,000 up front, and then $25,000, I think, to pay for it when it's over with. But the Democratic Underground people raised $50,000. A few bucks here, a few bucks there. Some folks contributed a lot more, some a few bucks less. It's a wonderful thing. It really is a wonderful thing, and especially to someone as deserving as Andy. And he's, like I said, been on the show. He's a heck of a guy. And we are so proud of all of our friends in Democratic Underground for doing that. Thank you. Thank you to everybody. I know Andy's thank you, but thank you for being such good people. That's really a wonderful story. It really is. 888-602-7500. If you want to give us a call, we got a couple of lines open. I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and they were talking about, free markets. I was watching a program about free market. And I wonder, did you ever closely examine some of the statements about free market from this administration? You know, an automobile company can move its factories to Mexico and claim it's a free market. A toy company can outsource to a Chinese subcontractor and claim it's a free market. A major bank can head right over to Bermuda and incorporate to avoid taxes and claim it's a free market. You know, we can buy HP printers made in Mexico. We can buy shirts made in Bangladesh. We can purchase almost anything we want from at least 50 different countries. But heaven help the senior citizen who dares to buy the prescription medicine from a Canadian pharmacy. That's called un-American. And you think the pharmaceutical companies don't own this administration? Think again, my friends. Think again. Pharmaceutical companies own them. Well, I should say they own a piece of them. The oil business owns a bunch of them. You know, various lobbying groups own a bunch of it. They're divvied up pretty well, actually, the banking industry. Let's go to Brandon in Fort Myers. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guy, I had a topic I was going to talk about, but you kind of changed my mind. So I'd just like to point out something about the un-American sort of platform that the right-wing group is, you know, all over. You know, you see that, or you hear that idiot Hannity, you know, on the radio every night talking about, you know, oh, you're a great American, all this. And they are the antithesis of what it means to be a great American, because a great American is accepting of all cultures, all alternative ways of life, you know, and everything that Bush believes in and everything that all, you know, Limbaugh and all them is just so un-American. It's almost ridiculous, the irony. And I just wanted to see what your take on that was.
Well, I agree with you about Hannity. You know, the guy's such a media whore. I mean, here he was out in front of the Schiavo house during interviews, and here he was out in front. The one that really slayed me last week, he was out in front of that missing bride's house. I mean, please.
Right.
Yeah, I want to tell my listeners right now, please, if I ever come on the air and I announce I'm someplace like in front of that bride's house, or the Schiavo house or something, please turn the show off and don't ever turn it on again, because that's what I would deserve and that's what Hannity deserved.
Yeah, right. We'd take you right off the air. And the other thing I don't quite understand is it seems like since September 11th, the right-wing party has been so confused about any of what they consider their values, as far as they have a government now the size that only Clinton could ever dream of having. And it's so anti-conservative, everything they do, with calling the emergency congressional meeting. I thought they were going to call an emergency congressional meeting for the runaway bride and pass legislation on that. I didn't know what they were going to do next, and I just... It's astounding to me.
It really is. The idea that Republicans vote for these people is amazing to me. They're not conservative at all.
No, they're just confused, I think. But yes. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for your call, Brandon. Good to hear from you. You know, it's like Brandon brought up there. What do the Democrats stand for? You know, the Republicans are saying they stand for this, that, and everything. You know, I think it's really simple what we stand for. I think the Democrats, myself anyway, and most Democrats I know, believe in the mutual responsibilities that strengthen all of our individual rights. I think we're not individuals when it comes to rights. I mean, we need to band together and make sure we have our rights protected. We believe in working toward the ideals which are good for all of the citizens in this country, not just a fortunate few. We believe in a very strong and powerful America, not just a strong military. You know, they talk about a strong America. They think that the military is the only thing that counts. It's not true. And although we're very strong militarily right now, we're very weak. America is very, very weak right now with the lack of respect around the country, or around the world, rather. We've lost a lot of respect. We've lost a lot of prestige around the world. And in that respect, we are extremely weak right now. So it's just not a military that has to be strong, where the rest of America has to be strong. You know, Democrats firmly believe in conserving our resources. And I'll be damned if I've heard anybody in this administration talk about conserving any resources. And basically, I think Democrats share the belief that all Americans, all of them, should share in the prosperity of this nation. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it? You know, you look at the basic tenets. You're talking about religion. You look at the basic principles of all religions, the foundations upon which any of the major religions are built. It's that we should share, that we should love one another, that we should get along. Many things that are socialistic in nature, they are. If you hate that word, why, I'm sorry, but we do live in a society, and we must take care of one another, and we must help those who can't help themselves. We must help the folks that fall through the cracks. We hear about that all the time, that somebody fell through the cracks. There shouldn't be any cracks. It's our responsibility as human beings. Forget being a Democrat or a Republican. It's our responsibility. You know, who said that we want to... Well, I've told you a dozen times, I think, on this program, maybe only 11, but I had a friend tell me a long time ago, and it kind of ended our friendship. And I swear anybody else that tells me this would end our friendship as well. We were talking about politics one day, and he said, I didn't sign on to be my brother's keeper. How could I be friends with somebody like that? How could I? Because, you know, someone tells you, I didn't sign on to be my brother's keeper, you're looking at a selfish, you're looking at somebody that doesn't deserve to be your friend. And I'm sorry that things like that get in the way, but, you know, we got to be careful who we choose as our friends. It just points that out. But it's just, I think the philosophies of the two parties right now are as far apart as they've ever been. I don't see the Republicans standing for anything right now, anything, they're standing for big government, the bigger the better. They're standing for monopolies. They're standing for theocracy. They're standing for merging politics and religion, government and religion. They're standing for a lot of things they ought not stand for right now. I had a discussion with someone earlier this week that was talking about partisanship. And... you know, when it comes down to it, you know, I don't claim to be always right when we're discussing politics with somebody. I don't claim the Democrats have been 100% right. I don't claim that honest Republicans, real Republicans, have been 100% wrong. This administration's been 100% wrong, but they're not really Republicans, like I've said many times before. And it's about time the rest of the Republicans understand that. But it's not who's red or blue state. It's not who's conservative or liberal. It comes down to the choice of two things, right or wrong. I don't care what you call it. You can call it liberal, conservative, red, blue state, call it anything you want to. But it comes down to right versus wrong. And it just so happens that we have a group of people in power right now that have been absolutely, unequivocally wrong on every major decision they have made. They lied to us about this war, and yet many, many people who voted for them are still saying, yeah, but look how it turned out. Well, I'm sorry. I am sorry. Look how it turned out. You know, I think Bush has absolutely sealed his fate with historians. And as you all know, I predicted for a long time ago, now, a long time, ever since maybe the first year of his administration, that Junior Bush will go down in history as our worst president ever. I have no doubts whatsoever that I'm absolutely right on that. Nobody could shake my faith in that prediction. The longer it goes, the worse it looks for him. And I think he's now ensured that my prediction will, in fact, come true. You know, historians are usually able to see through the politics of history and report the facts. And when the facts of the Bush administration are written, they're going to be, they're going to stink real bad. But the saddest part of all this is not that Bush and his gang of co-conspirators set out to do what they've done. It's that the American people allowed them to get away with it. You, me, people in the other. That's what amazes me. And what should be America's most educated population ever, we have a nation of uninformed zombies who really don't seem to give a damn. Or what's even worse, many of them do give a damn but can't separate truth from fiction. That's the sad part. How many times on this program alone have you heard a confrontation between the host and the caller where the host was talking documented facts and the caller absolutely refused to acknowledge that it was truth? You know, I could give you a lot of examples, but let me give you one. All along, they've said we've said that there were no WMDs in Iraq, and some of them will swear to this day that they know where they are. They've been shipped to Syria, despite all the fact that all of Bush's inspectors have come home and denied their existence. You know that they just refuse to listen to the truth. How do you reason with people like that? You know, we have people who now know that Bush lied to get us into the Iraq War, and still they defend his action, usually by saying some nonsense like it doesn't matter. Look at all the good it's come from it. It matters. But they say it doesn't matter, that the President of the United States looked you in the eye and told you he was going to commit our young people to battle on the basis of an outright lie. It mattered that Bill Clinton said I did not have sex with that woman, but it doesn't matter that Bush lied through his teeth about going to war. What kind of a person believes that? I'd really argue that it's an unqualified moron who would say that. I don't know why I even discuss anything with someone of that mindset. It's either stupidity or stubbornness. Take your pick, and don't like either one. It totally baffles me that someone like that considers themselves to be patriotic. And yet, you know, the belief that it's okay for a president to lie to us is as unpatriotic as you can possibly get. You know, giving him a right to do that with no consequences is giving him a license to steal, and being a politician, that's exactly what he'll continue doing. And because of that, America will sink lower and lower and lower in the eyes of the rest of the world, if that's possible. And if you're one of those who says, who cares about what the rest of the world thinks, you'd better reconsider your position. Because America will not stand with the rest of the world. You know, they will not stand with the rest of the world against us. We can't. Yeah, our military is equal to all the rest of the military added together in the world. But believe me, we don't want to get into a tussle with the rest of the world. You know, we're strong, but we're not invincible. You know, all of you hawks who think we should blow everyone else to kingdom come should remember how much trouble we're having against a little country like Iraq. Imagine for a moment, if you will, what it would be like to try and conquer China. So you think we don't need to get along with the rest of the world? You think we can be isolated? We can be isolationists and just stay here and be our warm, fuzzy little country with all of our guns and our A-bombs and all that? You think that'll work? If you do, you're not very smart. Let's go to Rao in Austin, Texas.
Hello, guy.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show. And I listen to you a long time now, and I'm real faithful to you every Sunday.
Thank you.
And I listen to you through my internet.
Good.
And I want to tell you one thing. I just came from Bali and Bangkok, Thailand. I just came from, but this is not main point I'm calling you. I just came back from Bali and Bangkok, Thailand. Man, it is so dangerous to talk. I'm American. If I say, I will be dead. They hate us now.
Mm.
I want to let you know about that. People do. But I went there about 10 years back, and they love Americans in those days. Now, you cannot say that I'm American. You're in deep trouble. The reason why I'm calling you is, the guy, Jeff Gannon guy?
Oh, yes.
He went there almost 200 times to White House, and he stayed overnight several times. And nobody is talking about that one, because what I am telling you, I have a Q clearance in this country. I have gone through so much of investigation they did to get that clearance. This idiot, he has gone 200 times to White House and stayed overnight in the White House. Nobody is talking about that one. I'm really surprised. I don't know.
Well, you're right. He signed in several times and never signed out.
Yeah, before I let you go, guy, I want to say one more thing. People in other countries, they know a lot more about Iraq and all than we in this country. I want to let you know about that. When I went there to Bangkok, Thailand, everybody knows about Iraq. Bush fooled us. They are talking about that. I don't want to say that because I'm very responsible. But they are telling Bush fooled you guys, and you don't know what is happening, you know?
Right, right.
And they know a lot more about Bush than we know. And I want to leave right there. I want to hear your comments about Jeff Gannon. That is most important for me.
Thank you, Rob.
Because I have a Q clearance. I had gone through about 2 years investigation. Then I got it. And this idiot, he went to White House several times. And what kind of clearance he has? I don't know.
No, he didn't have any.
I'm scared.
Thank you, Rob.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for calling the show. Well, yeah, you know, we talked about that last week. I had the list here. I think I left it at home this week. 200 times, Jeff Gannon or James Guckert or whatever his name is, went to the White House. He was refused credentials to get into the Capitol building. They refused his credentials. Can you imagine that? having the Capitol Police refuse credentials to him, and yet he gets in the White House 200 times, stays as long as he wants to, doesn't even sign out some nights. There's something rotten in Denmark. There is. Nobody wants to admit it. Is it Karl Rove? Who else is in there? I mean, is it, you don't suppose it's Dick Cheney? No, no. Who could it be? Who did the male prostitute win there to see? I mean, we know he really wasn't writing news. If you have you read anything he wrote? I have. Oh, yeah. How a guy could claim to be a news reporter is way beyond my comprehension. But right now, I think we're going to pause for a break. We need to compose ourselves here, and we'll be back. We'll be back with more of The Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Today's tip for parents from the Parent Institute. I'm Dr. John Wherry. I'm talking about ways to use parent pressure to combat peer pressure on your child. Negative peer pressure can be effectively balanced by positive parent pressure. Think of it as a balance scale. With a little effort, you can make sure parent pressure wins. Make sure your child knows you love and respect her. Smile when you see her, be affectionate, spend time with her, and listen to her. Help her feel like an important member of the family. Stress family traditions. Let your child know how much you appreciate and rely on her help. And help her feel special. Tell her what you think is unique about her. Don't compare her to brothers or sisters. Peer pressure is powerful, but parent pressure can be stronger. For more information on peer pressure, visit the Parent Institute website at radio.parentinstitute.com.
News Talk 1240 and 1270.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough. The following is a message from George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
We're here today because, like you, we share a strong desire to do everything we can to help alleviate the terrible suffering caused by the recent tsunami disaster.
Millions of people have lost loved ones, including children, homes, and in some cases, hope. And though it happened on the other side of the world, it touches our hearts, and we want to help.
The greatest source of America's generosity is the good heart of the American people. And that's why we come to you, not as presidents, but as two private citizens.
Everyone can help, and every dollar contributed will impact someone's life. So visit usafreedomcorps.gov to choose a reputable charity to accept your donations directly. You can trust that your contribution will be well spent.
No one can change what happened,
but we can all change what happens next.
Thank you.
To make a cash donation to a reputable charity, visit usafreedomcorps.gov. A PSA brought to you by the Ad Council.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness can all be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know.
If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk. But a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. Call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, I don't want to go any further without letting some of you know about our good friend Ben Birch over to WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org, just the way it says. You'll find this show archived on there. All of our shows are archived. Can't talk tonight. Archived on there, along with some of your other favorite liberal hosts on there. And I hope you'll go over there and download anything you want to. Download them all. Listen to them all week long at your leisure. That's the nice thing about WhiteRoseSociety.org. And while you're there, Ben's going to have a fundraiser this week. It costs some real bucks to keep that situation rolling, and you better donate some. I know I will. And you better follow the lead. I'm going to check on you. I will. I'm going to ask Ben. I know who you are. I got all your phone numbers and stuff. I'm going to check. You know, I was thinking just for a moment, we're talking about how things have switched around, how the liberals have been conservative with government, and the conservatives have become liberal with big government and everything. You know, we always heard the conservatives or the Gingrich people, I should say, the Newt Gingrich people, talking about government being in the lives of people as if government were somehow the enemy. And I don't think government is necessarily the enemy. It can be. It certainly can be. But, you know, it's one of the reasons that, I don't know, if you younger people, seek out some of the old pictures of when Franklin Roosevelt died, and they hauled his body along on the train, and you saw people standing mourning to the depths of despair, crying their eyes out over the death of Franklin Roosevelt. And you wonder, gee, it's, you know, Franklin Roosevelt, the reason he's still revered is because he proved to the common man the government can be a positive force for the masses when it's pointed in the right direction. It doesn't have to go in the wrong direction. But Franklin Roosevelt proved that government can be your friend when it's used in the right way. That's why Franklin Roosevelt's revered to this day and always will be in the height in the hearts of thinking people everywhere. It will. I don't know how many of you are aware of this little milestone that we've got going on right now. Maybe even I don't want to bring it up, but I'm going to, and I'll get to the phones in just a moment. We're right around the date when we should be celebrating the fact that it's been 2 years since Mr. Bush declared mission accomplished. Yep. Been 2 years since our commander-in-chief declared the war to be over and our forces victorious. Remember that, standing up there with these little flight suit on and everything? Our troops marched triumphantly through the streets of Iraq, and they were showered with flowers and candy by the ever-so-grateful Iraqi people. We'd liberated them from tyranny. What a glorious time for America. You remember that? We killed the bad guys and threw their leader into prison, restored all their schools and hospitals and their electricity and their roads and their economy, and generally just gave them a wonderful way of life. We gave them something they'd never enjoyed before, free elections. They chose their own government, and things have been hunky-dory for 2 years now. Oh, wait a minute. No. That's what the Bush people have been saying. You know, let's be honest here. Can some of my friends on the right be honest about this for a minute? Can you drop your partisanship for a moment and take a good look at this situation in Iraq? 2 years since mission accomplished, the country of Iraq is in chaos such as they've never known in that country before. You know, we're recruiting Iraqi men to join us in defending their country against the insurgents who just seem to keep on coming. You know, the only trouble is that most of these recruiters seem to disappear after a while, and I guess who can blame them? We hear about this 150,000 or so Iraqis in uniform, but when push comes to shove from our military leaders over there, it's you hear them say, well, the Iraqis just, you know, they're just not quite ready yet. Oh, they will be ready, but they're just not quite ready yet. Yeah, right. How long do you expect us to believe that one? You know, in these 2 years, we found out that all of Bush's stated reasons for going to war were absolutely false. No WMDs. Al-Qaeda and Saddam were not good friends, after all. And the Iraqis had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11. We know all that. They weren't a threat to anybody. You know, we hear the Bush people crowing about how they've made the world safe from terrorism, but we've got facts proving otherwise. That terrorism hit an all-time high in the world last year. The world is more unsafe now. More unsafe now than before the war. We're told we're fighting them over there. How many times have you heard that? We're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here. And yet last week we saw this debacle in Washington where a tiny little plane caused utter panic amongst the bureaucrats. The sight of a two-seat plane causing massive evacuations in the nation's capital hardly inspires confidence that we're safer now than we were before. I don't know about you. You know, we've got Iran and North Korea giving us the finger because they know full well that we can't and we won't do a damn thing about their disregard for our rules on nuclear proliferation. What you going to do about it? It's their attitude. And why not? You know, as I watch Bush, I have to wonder, what world is this guy living in? Certainly not mine, and certainly not the reality of the average American. He seems utterly and completely out of touch with the average American, but yet 43% of the people continue to back him. Go figure. But enough of that. Let's take time to stop and smell the flowers. Let's sit back and reflect upon these last 2 years since mission accomplished. What a glorious time it's been. And if you think we have it good because of mission accomplished, just think about how doggone grateful those happy Iraqis are right now. You know, I saw some of the happy ones in Tikrit this past week showing how happy they were. They were so damn happy they were throwing rocks and hurling obscenities at American soldiers. And not to worry, because Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush tell us that's how the Iraqis show their appreciation. Yeah. Everything's fine, folks. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. And would somebody please tell me why we can't get any news people in to cover that battle against the insurgents over there on the West End over near Syria in Iraq? No, a blackout of news from there. And yet Ali North gets a report from there. Can somebody explain that to me? I'd like to know what that's about. We're going to go to Teresa in Naples. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I missed the first 2 hours. I had to be away, but so I asked if there had been any discussion on Tom DeLay's. They had a dinner for him.
Oh, yes.
For last.
We.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to turn the television on day before yesterday morning, and they were applauding Mrs. DeLay about all of her good works and past experience with being such a philanthropist and good works. And she sat there kind of stunned, even looking, you know, that that they were saying all these wonderful things about her. And I don't know much about her, except I know she and Tom DeLay started some sort of a prayer meeting in March when his when the announcement came of the wrongdoings that he is now facing, and that they're trying to change the ruling about the they want to change the ethics rules.
Oh, the ethics rules, yes.
Yes, and I mean, it's unbelievable that that's even being discussed. That rule has been in for hundreds and hundreds of years. But my point is this. I don't know if you heard the words from Tom DeLay as he came to the microphone.
Oh, about the Democrats not having any class?
Oh, yes. And more than that, we don't have a plan. We don't have a leader. And I forget the third word. Then he said we're being led by, not led, he didn't use the kind word of led. He used a discouraging word or a disastrous word about being led around, something to that effect. you know, by Howard Dean, indicating that, you know, too bad, you know, the Democrats now are being under the auspices and leadership of Howard Dean. Mm-hmm. And then his last statement really got me. I mean, that was it for me. He said, and they have no class. I haven't seen anything in the paper. I haven't heard anybody talk about. I've never heard any man, any senator, any politician be so rude and so nasty and so untruthful as I heard from Tom DeLay, a man that really belongs in jail because of what he does. But believe it or not, from all indications, he's getting out of it. And for him to speak before this group, before Phyllis Schlafly, I can't. How do you pronounce her last name?
Schlafly.
Schlafly, right. Excuse me, I got a little tongue-tied here. But I'd like to see if others heard it, and if you've heard it, what your remarks and what your feelings are about that. And I suppose it was supposed to upset us and cause us to really, you know, get mad and angry and want to throw rocks at him. But I want to wring him around the neck and have that polished look that he has really come forth as the monster that I really think he is.
He is a monster, and, you know, sticks and stones will break our bones and all that sort of thing, but nothing Tom DeLay says is going to hurt us. I have nothing but utter contempt for him. He's a rat. Teresa, for several weeks now, I've begged some of my right-wing callers, and they're out there listening right now, but they're kind of staying behind the trees right now.
Oh, sure.
I begged them to call in and defend their leader of their house, Mr. DeLay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't got not one phone call where anybody called in and defended Mr. DeLay. I think that's really telling, don't you?
It's indicative of the lack of real respect for him, and I don't think they're willing to admit it. They don't want to admit his wrong. He denies any wrongdoing, and so they're in a tough spot there. But you would think that somebody would come forward of those that you're speaking that would, you know, really say it like it is.
That's
and
right.
They're in denial, and worse than that, they're covering up, and the nerve, the absolute rotten nerve that he has to come out there and speak as he did, doing what he has done, to desecrate the Democratic Party, our leaders, that we have no plan. We have a lot of plans, but we're not just talking about them because they will twist and turn around everything that we would come out with.
Hey, they're in the driver's seat right now. Let them drive. They wanted to drive. They wanted a driver's seat. They've got it. They've turned us in the ditch at every opportunity. Teresa, thank you for your call.
Yes,
thank you. I'm going to comment about a few things Mr. DeLay here
right now.
Thank you, sir. You want to talk about Mr. DeLay? Here's the leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. This is the man called the Hammer, the guy that calls all the shots. Admonishment number one. DeLay received private admonishment for continuing with Newt Gingrich's K Street project back in 1999. The House Ethics Committee sent a letter to DeLay privately admonishing him for pushing the Electronics Industry Association to hire former Republican Bill Paxton as a lobbyist. That's something you're not supposed to do, but he did. Let's see. By the way, Paxton was at that tribute the other night. I just thought I'd mention that. Admonishment number two, the House Ethics Committee admonished DeLay for bribes for votes. DeLay violated House standard procedure and kept the 15-minute House rule on Medicare open for 3 hours. You all remember this. Later on, the House Ethics Committee conducted an investigation into whether DeLay threatened and bribed representatives into voting for the Medicare law, including a large contribution of $100,000-plus for the campaign of the son of a member of Congress. Uh-huh. Admonishment 3A. They got so many, they got them. Westar traded cash with DeLay in exchange for a seat at the table during the energy bill negotiations that we still haven't found out about with Mr. Cheney.
An energy company, Westar, gave more than $56,000 in cash to Delay for a seat at the table during the energy bill negotiation. As a result, language was added to a bill that specifically benefited Westar. Mm-hmm. Admonishment 3B, Mr. Delay abused leadership position and used influence to track private airplanes. You remember that when that little redistricting thing was going on down in Texas? Delay abused his leadership position and used his influence to direct the Department of Homeland Security to track a private airplane carrying Democratic members of the Texas legislature who were rebelling against a Delay-led Texas redistricting plan. He did that. You remember when he was caught at the airport one time? He got belligerent with the people looking through his things and all, and they said something about, well, we work for the United States government, and Delay said, and to the ears of many people, I am the United States government. The arrogance of that rat. Admonishment number 4, which is pending right now. Committee will decide whether to pursue action based on Delay's involvement with the TRM PAC. The House Ethics Committee deferred action on another complaint dealing with Delay's fundraising. A Texas grand jury in September indicted 3 of Delay's political associates on charges of using this PAC to illegally collect corporate donations and funnel them to Texas legislative races. It's one thing after another. There's trip scandals. Delay accepted trips from lobbyists, shady business interests, and foreign agents. Delay took a $106,000 trip to South Korea in 2001. That was financed by a tax-exempt group created by a lobbyist on behalf of a Korean businessman. He participated in a $70,000 expense-paid trip to London and Scotland in 2000 that sources said was indirectly financed in part by an Indian tribe and a gambling service. It's over and over and over again. And of course, we've told you that Jeff Gannon, known as the male prostitute who got in the White House a couple hundred times, was also at that little dinner for him the other night. So David Keene from the American Conservative Union, Keene lobbied for an organization that tried to discredit the AARP. And, of course, Delay wanted to discredit the AARP. Grover Norquist, you have the Americans for Tax Reform, and Norquist got $1.15 million from Indian groups, and that was with that outfit that Delay's people, Jack Abramoff, was screwing those Indians out of all that money. It just was a nice little dinner the other night. Morton Blackwell was there. This is a whole dinner of rats and just highly respected people. But I do wonder, I have to tell you that if any of you folks want to call me and have me defend any of my leaders, my Democratic leaders, whom I respect, I'll be glad to do so. Why won't you call me and defend Mr. Tom Delay? You must love him. You're not saying anything about him. You must think he's really a stand-up guy. If you think so, give me a call. 888-602-7500. 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Got a couple lines open. Give us a call. We'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Drywall slabs, and you can see right here they're putting the finishing touches on the kitchen and making sure that they have enough cabinet space to cook.
In the southeast corner of San Francisco, hope is building. Construction is underway on 36 beautiful new apartments for seniors who struggle to afford a place to live.
This is going to be for many of these seniors the first time that they've ever had their own kitchen or their own bathroom, if you can imagine.
For a lucky few, these apartments will mean the end of living in garages, basements, or choosing between medicine, food, and rent, all because neighbors are uniting to say yes to affordable housing.
It becomes really a symbol of hope, a symbol that, yes, there is something that we can do about the crisis of affordable housing.
Today, 1 in 10 seniors in America lives in poverty, but one by one, with one more pair of hands working with others, the picture of poverty can change. For easy ways you can help, visit povertyusa.org. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building,
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp.
to finish my education. So she dropped me off the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
The right. All that's left is the truth.
This is Guy James, and I want you to join me right here on AM 1240 and 1270 Wink WNOG every Saturday night from 7 to 10. We'll discuss the issues of the week from a Democratic point of view. 7 to 10 Saturday nights on 1240 and 1270.
Right now, one of the hardest things is
we're coming back after this guy.
And we see how much their friends have grown and changed and how big they've gotten, and we cannot see how much Brandy Taylor and Sarah Francis have grown and changed and just going through those milestone years.
Brandy Taylor and Sarah Wiggins were killed by a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, hey, we're winding it down. It's getting down toward the end of the program. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to pay tribute to a gentleman that we've spoken to several times on the phone, and a man I admired immensely for his straightforwardness and his truth-telling and his bravery. And I'm talking about Colonel Hackworth. That's right. Colonel Hackworth died last week. He was down in Mexico having some kind of experimental surgery for the cancer that he had, and he didn't make it. And Hack was quite a guy. He was 74 years old. Now, all of you that have seen him on TV, you know he was a straight shooter. And you will also know that Hack loved the military, and Hack had the greatest respect for the military, as we all should. Well, when the military deserves it, we should throw our respect that way. But I just wanted to give you a statement that Hack said, and to kind of leave this as part of his legacy as a man who he won't give you any bull. He would never, ever give you any bull. And if he didn't think things were going right military, he would say so. And if they were, and you were a liberal Democrat, and he'd tell you. He would just flat out tell you, no, you're a fool. I don't like what you're saying. But I just want to read a little bit of the story by Hack and David Hackworth. America would be a whole lot safer if the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Meyer, was flying for Virgin Airlines and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was competing on Survivor. Both war leaders have done so miserable a job honchoing the military side of our critical conflict against global terrorism, and in the process so jeopardized our national security that they should be sacked for dereliction of duty. Contrary to continuing political spin, Iraq and Afghanistan both are running sores with little promise of even a long-term turnaround, and our world today is far more dangerous than it was before 9/11. Unless there's a 180-degree change in overall strategy, the USA is doomed to follow the same bloody path through these two brutal killing fields that the Soviet Union took in Afghanistan. Oh, man. And to carry on, the mighty sword that Rumsfeld and Myers inherited 4 years ago, the finest military force in the world, is now chipped and dulled, and the word is that it'll take at least a decade to get our overextended, bone-tired soldiers and Marines, their worn-out gear, back in shape. Top generals like former NATO Commander Wes Clark and a squad of retired and active duty four-star generals warned long before the invasion of Iraq, don't go there. It doesn't involve our national security. It's not the main objective in our war with international terrorism. Even retired four-star General Colin Powell said that if we go to Iraq and break the China, we own it. But know-it-all Rumsfeld and go-along-to-get-along Myers totally ignored his sound military advice. Those are the words from Colonel David Hackworth. I believe he's our most decorated soldier. Dead at the age of 74 this past week. man highly respected. If you can't respect his thoughts on the military, who can you respect? This war in Iraq is looking more and more like Vietnam every single day. I think we all know that. I think if you really think about it, and the news from Iraq is bad, it's getting worse every single day. The insurgents are stepping up their attacks. You know, they had, 11 bombings on April 29th alone. You know, the 150,000 or so Iraqi police that have been trained and ran away and trained, a lot of them have joined the insurgents. The cost of the war is now up to $300 billion, $1 billion a week. The bodies are piling up. I think we've got 610 or 11, however it is at this moment, 100,000 Iraqis dead. I think the number is 177 at the current time of Allied troops. A number a lot of you would be surprised at, 229 private contractors have died over there so far. And this new Iraqi government, they're fighting dogfight amongst each other. Place is headed towards civil war. But to hear Bush tell it, it's going really well. Going really, really, really well. You know, what was it he said? I'm looking for a quote here. That success is sending a message from Beirut to Tehran. Man, I don't think they've got the message over there. I don't think we sent them any kind of a message at all. In fact, I think they're laughing at us. I know the insurgents certainly are. God help our soldier. God help our soldiers. Do want to let you know that many of our longtime listeners, that there's going to be a tribute in New York. I'll talk about it next week for our dear friend Jeff Madsen. We'll be talking to his sister next week about the tribute that's going to take place. It's going to be really great. Going to play a lot of his music. I want to thank you for listening to the program. Don't forget to go and donate to the program. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Research director Michael Merrick. Production manager Frank Princeton. Marketing director Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. WINK Fort Myers, WNOG Naples, AM 1240 and 1270. Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
News Radio. I'm Janice Dean. Scores of Iraqi terrorists killed, dozens of others captured. The end result of Operation Matador, dubbed a success by the U.S. military.
U.S. warplanes destroyed many of these so-called safe houses by dropping 500-pound laser-guided bombs on them.